Production. Recorded live.
Greetings, ogling warrior and man's ass clowns across the fruited nutted dog plain. In the open air, coast to coast nut house, we call Dog Babylon the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel. You chose the seat of Israel's race. Ye who did hear Christ call. Greetings. Now, this is episode number 126 for the Movement Third. Tonight is the 10th of June, 2012. And let's see. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it, the title will be Whigger Nationalism equals Fierce Thinking About Me, Bitch Tits. Now, when I come up with a thing like that, you got to understand, throughout the white nationalist movement, what you have is people who claim that they think about everyone else, they think about the overall good of the white race. And, pretty well, what you got is that for all this yapping about how much they love the white race, when it all comes down to it, Whiggers are liars who only love themselves. It's because of a pretense they buy a set of tickets and sorts to get to pretend to have a say, especially while anonymous. Now, this Friday, poor old commandoric bitch tits Bill White was arrested in Mexico. I went ahead and looked, and he was arrested around in some tourist trap around Cancun, Mexico, on the Yucatan Peninsula or something. And anyway, now while a few people actually grieved about Bill White's life being ruined by Zog Babylon, most people claiming to be white nationalists, like this Hugh on VNF, put this news in terms of how it impacted you. He said at the very end, all in all, it will probably have caused several white nationalists to now get locked up, some for several years. In his month on the run, he may have well given the federales all they need to take in most of the national socialist movement, which they have not been able to accomplish in approximately 60-plus years. Well, folks, why would Zog want to put down the white nationalist movement? Why would they want to do that? I mean, it's not like it's been successful. It's not like it's been dangerous to Zog. In fact, most white nationalism is usually Zog-owned, Zog-controlled. What isn't Zog-owned and Zog-controlled is usually quite dysfunctional. Now, I've gone ahead and heard this crap about, oh, how if some wigger does something here, it's going to get 150 million of us wiggers put in prison camps. We're all going to die. Now, folks, what you have right now is you have Zog Babylon that's on the verge of collapse. Yet rather than think of revolutionary possibilities, which overstretched regime criminal pig-life enforcers are being overstretched, while the niggers and beaners are restless, and the wiggers now have had their wage and tax slave status rubbed in their faces, white nationalists always think in terms of despair. Oh, woe is me! Woe is me! And folks, it is woe is me. They're not thinking of the overall white race. Now, there's no longer open, free, fair, honest elections here. And pretty well I mentioned in the previous show on Thursday night how essentially I've been kicked off the ballot of the Newton County Libertoon Party for running for sheriff. Essentially, it was just because of some Republicans going ahead and passing a law which goes ahead and allows some Department of Revenue bureaucrat to claim that because I haven't gone ahead and actually filed an income tax form for whatever state income tax form for whatever reason, that I need to become a wage and tax slave before I get to go ahead and run for office. And my response to that is, if you want to go ahead and couple essentially a representative government and paying taxes, but at the same time say that because you're a white supremacist you can't go ahead and get to run, essentially, you decoupled representative government. What strikes me is that all across, what happens is that the real Jeremy Visser, he used to post under Pastor No Space Visser, but he got on the Logan Hunter show about 2-3 months ago, claimed that he was 25% Cherokee Indian, chimped out, went ahead, reported Logan Hunter, scared poor old Logan Hunter off. He did one more show, and then afterwards he just pretty well ran off here. So essentially, now he goes ahead and claims to be Pastor _ Visser. So in any case, yeah. I mean, I don't know who the hell made Visser a pastor. He's never been quite honest about that. He's gone ahead and posted supposedly that Morris Gillette made him a pastor, but Morris Gillette's been kicked out of the Aryan Nations by Ray Redfern and not allowed back in by Pastor Richard Butler. Essentially, Visser's just a mamzer. He's running around, and he was having a fine time last night. And I did a quick show of about an hour and a half last night, because essentially you had them on the Newskike show. You had them whining and pissing and moaning about Marty Chomo, to where every little mamzer and Jew boy faggot is running around calling me a child molester, and the proof they got is, well, not. They just have their hatred. And at the very end, I went and called in, and these characters dropped off, and Newskike wouldn't go ahead and let me on the show here. And he played a little game, and then he pretty well gave up pretending he lived in Iceland. And, that was what that was about. But I also want to go ahead and talk about Eli James, and I am going to go ahead and talk with Russ Walker when he goes ahead and calls about Eli James. Essentially, pissing and moaning about Finkelschini and Emma Heiser believing that, the beasts of the field, the non-whites, the mamzers, the rest here, are going to be resurrected and then judged and then put in the lake of fire, whereas Eli James believes they're going to, the good ones are going to go ahead and get into heaven, and they're going to go ahead and pick our cotton and make our mint juleps. So I was going to go ahead and post onto that, the jape is that what happens is that if you had a case or a John Deere mechanical cotton picker, why, if you went ahead and raised them up. Now, the new cotton pickers, they used to just pick cotton, and what they would do is they would prepare the cotton that they picked ready to go ahead, essentially, and have it pre-ginned and have it almost ready to go ahead and bale up. In about, they call it a modular device here. So the latest case and the latest, the latest John Deere cotton pickers have essentially not only picked the cotton, but what they do is they go ahead and prepare it to be ginned up. And I was saying, well, hey, if my mechanical cotton picker can go ahead and get a refrigerator unit here, why, you can go ahead and serve me a mint julep too here. Now, will my, Case or John Deere cotton picker, if it gets resurrected, will it go ahead and have an immortal soul? Will it go ahead and, the bad cotton pickers, the ones that, go ahead and leave too much stubble on the field, will they go ahead and be burnt here forever and ever and ever and ever and become a big old pile of steel, aluminum, and glass? And well, the good cotton pickers, the ones which know how, have a little refrigerator unit on the back, will they go ahead? Will they be serving me, picking my virtual cotton up in heaven and going ahead and feeding me mint juleps here? And pretty well, the joke is that, folks, if you went ahead and had a Case or a John Deere cotton picker, why, essentially, you'd just think that this is ridiculous. A John Deere, even a John Deere or a Case, cotton, mechanical cotton picker does not have a soul. It's not going to be resurrected. Well, folks, same thing is that's what the Christian identity, the real Christian identity, believes is about niggers and beaners and gooks. They don't have souls. They're not going to be resurrected any more than the Case or the John Deere cotton pickers, even though they've been making them since 2007 and that they're the latest in a long line of mechanical cotton pickers, and now they can pick up, they can pick more cotton than about 500 niggers could, from morning to dusk here, if you got them niggers to work. So, I mean, that's what Eli James was trying to say, and he went ahead and censored, or he went ahead and banned Mia Sinclair, and one of the Nimbuster tars was going ahead and trolling the crap out of him, and I was trolling the crap out of him on the Tor browser. So I'll go ahead and talk a little bit about that, too, with Russ. But what you got to look at is that the white nationalist movement is pretty well, it's not really amounted to anything. And what you have in this movement is every single tard looking after himself and hating everybody else to where, well, essentially, you had one of those Covington supporters. He actually just went ahead and wrote northwestfront.org on there, and he was heading whining like a pussy. You got to ban him, you got to ban him, you got to ban him, you got to ban him. And essentially, nobody paid attention to heading. But increasingly, what you have is that you have all these people that are looking for decreasing sources of revenue from the Uyghurs that remain. And folks, I urge everybody, if you're serious, you'll understand that things are not hopeless. What is hopeless? Well, situation is hopeless, but not serious, like the Germans said in World War I. The situation is hopeless, but not serious. And what we're working to do is make the situation serious but no longer hopeless. And how the Great Tribulation is going to do that is it's going to go ahead and kill 90% of the Uyghurs and all the Jews and Mamzers and the rest here. And that is how the situation will be turned to become serious instead of hopeless. Right now, the situation is hopeless. Essentially, what you're doing is that you're lurching from crisis to crisis to crisis. None of these crises amount to anything, but taken together, the situation is hopeless for white nationalism. There's no way to go ahead and vote your way out because you're not allowed to go ahead and run for office in some cases, like myself. So, essentially, all you're being told is that while the niggers are rioting and they're needing more and more and more money here, and white people are figuring out, well, fuck it, there's nothing we can do about niggers. They're just violent creatures. You have Detroit. You have Atlanta. You have essentially all these non-white cities becoming more and more and more ungovernable. And the purpose of this show is to go ahead, essentially, and tell whites, and tell even Uyghurs. Make sure that in your local situation that essentially it's ungovernable because you're not going to go in and obey them people unless you are essentially watched 24/7. I was looking the other day, you had 200 sex offenders, so-called sex offenders. I think probably better than a third of them were innocent. Essentially, you had all these sex offenders, 200 of them, Jasper County. Essentially, what do you have in Jasper County? About maybe you have 100 pigs. Well, folks, all one sex offender has to do is kill half a pig. And essentially, you won't have them knocking on any more doors. Now, of course, you're not going to have that happening all the while here, but sooner or later you're going to have a collapse, and essentially it'll be like New Orleans when pigs are running and running and running for their lives. Any case, let's see. How long have I been yakking? I've been yakking for about 14 minutes. I'll go ahead and yak for a few more. Let's see what's going on in the, I'm going ahead and looking at what's going on here. Yeah, well, this big boa, he sounded like some sort of lavender faggot here running around, last night here. Oh, Mighty's a child molester. Why do you know that? Well, hey. Anyway, is this her on? I don't think so here. Oh, by the way, last night you had Obagender Bender and you had Visser. And essentially, here are these characters playing their game about how tough they are. How brave they are. And, yeah, same thing happened over at the Manzer Barrel. Okay, what's your name? I'll go ahead and post if you go ahead and give me your real name. Now, you'll see Stephen Brower doing that anymore. You'll see you in Gelded. And Gelded's sort of a little, he's sort of well-behaved now. And the reason he's well-behaved is because, well, hey, he got caught. Anyway, well, looks like Scipio was here, and looks like he left here. It's a pity. Anyway, maybe he'll be back here. In any case, folks, you will see everyone running for their lives. But increasingly, you have. You know, I sometimes look at Hunter Waltz's forum. He likes to do the same thing as Paul Kersey. What you have is that they go ahead, and it's almost like New Nation News. They're talking about what the niggers are doing. Black run America. About essentially how black run America isn't doing very well. How essentially it's falling apart. How the city of Atlanta is going to have to go ahead and raise water bills because the city of Atlanta doesn't pay its water bill. So therefore, white people have to pay it. About how in Fulton County, you know, North Fulton, which is the white people who pay all, you know, 90% of the taxes or more, subsidizing South Fulton, how North Fulton wants to go ahead and secede, and essentially the niggers and the towns in South Fulton are saying, no, 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 white people got to go ahead and pay to let us live. You have in California here, where essentially a lot of white people pretty well left. They pretty well left the state if they're young. So, folks, what happens when the price of oil or the price of gasoline gets so expensive you can't no longer afford to go ahead and go to your job? You can't afford to go ahead and do anything. When essentially everything's been stolen and there's nothing left here. In the case of Spain is essentially begging for a bailout. And what it boils down to is that essentially they're just going to go ahead and try to bail out the banksters and leave a whole bunch of debts for the Spanish people and essentially make the banksters whole and then leave the Spanish people holding the bag. Well, the thing about it is neither the Spanish nor the Greeks, because essentially the Spanish have gotten a special deal. And then the question of it is well, why won't the Irish and the Greeks ask for that? If they don't get the special deal, then they'll just say screw it, and they'll implode. So, folks, we're getting to where there's no longer kicking the can down the road. In case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break. I went ahead and Jacob Israel, if you want to go ahead and give a call in later, well, that's fine by me. But first, we'll go ahead and take Russ Walker in. So I'm going to go ahead and take about a two-minute break and have Russ Walker call in. He wanted to go ahead and talk about, Eli's show this morning about how Eli is ignorant about science or something like that. Well, hey, Eli is ignorant about Christian identity as well. But we'll go ahead and have Russ go ahead and give a call in. He'll talk for about 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll go ahead and get on to whatever else needs to be getting on to. Hail victory, folks. Hello, Russ.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Okay. Well, anyway, Russ, let's see here. What to say? Anyway, you want to talk about Eli James' show this morning, which I didn't hear, or what?
He was on twice. The other night, I think it was Saturday night. He said that colored people are going to be resurrected. This is absolute insanity. I mean, we know that Yahweh doesn't change. And Eli made a bunch of statements this weekend which are really ridiculous. He, like today, talked about laws of physics, that Yahweh's going to change the laws of physics. No, Yahweh ain't going to change Jack. Whatever he set up 2 million years ago or whatever has always been set up will be that way forever. Nothing is going to be changed.
Well, what difference does it make if Yahweh does, you know, make the law of physics or not make resurrected saints subject to it? What difference does it make? I mean, this is not for the here and now anyway, right?
Well, I mean, now, it shows to me a fundamental lack of understanding there. We are all subject to the first judgment. When we came to this earth...
White people are subject.
We all, chinks, niggers, everybody, they've all been judged. When an Oriental was put as an Oriental, if someone made a decision to make him an Oriental, someone made a decision to make a colored person, a Negro, whatever it is, someone had to make these decisions. It wasn't an accident. You're made the way you are, I'm made the way I am, etc. So, in any event, Yahweh's not going to say, well, I made a mistake 1,000 years ago. I'm going to change it with a resurrection. That's not going to happen. He doesn't make mistakes. Whatever decision he made was the right decision for everyone. There were no mistakes. He is not going to correct his, quote, mistakes or do things differently. And for Eli to even think there's going to be a so-called heaven and have niggers and shinks and Jews and all that kind of crap in heaven, it wouldn't be heaven. That would be an oxymoron.
Well, when he had the big fight with Finkelschini in late December of 2010 and early January and February of 2011, essentially, he was saying that some good Jews can be saved. Essentially, he got a whole bunch of people yelling and screaming about that here. But essentially, Eli has not gone ahead and changed what he tries to do. Eli James, unlike Fink and unlike some of these others, Eli James actually knows more Christian identity theology than the rest of them. I don't know if you noticed here, but I went ahead and got on as Finkelschini. And essentially, I was initially encouraged to go ahead and post here, allowed to go ahead and post, even though, Steve Elder or McFag was whining like a pussy. Troll! You ought to call it the Steve Elder Show rather than Eli James, because Steve Elder seems to call the shots. But it went on to where, essentially, I went ahead and posted this article by this Andre Renard. She went ahead and pointed out, he went ahead and repointed this article that I wrote about how both Fink and Eli James are two halves of the same base metal Jew coin. Essentially, what they both are is that they're both universalists and that they both believe that non-whites, the Mamzers, the Jews, have a soul. And pretty well, dual seedline Christian identity, at least the Comparian branch, holds that non-whites are created on the sixth day and that these Mamzers are not really part of Yahweh's creation, and therefore, yes, they will be uprooted, according to Matthew chapter, year 15, 13, I believe. And in any case, yes, they will be uprooted. But in any case here, they're not under judgment because they're not under Yahweh's law. Yahweh has never made a law governing them. They're just simply nothing more than animals. And to go ahead and claim that essentially we're all equal in God's eyes, that we're all going to go ahead and be held to a standard when essentially the Bible, scripture after scripture after scripture, says that there's only a covenant with Yahweh's servant nation. And here's Eli James and all these other people, they're playing their little game to where they get to go ahead and decide, that, well, no, we're going to go ahead and change it. We're going to go ahead and believe in universalism. So I'm going to, and I did, make the joke. I don't know if you heard that, is that Eli James believes that essentially you're going to have Negroes picking our virtual cotton up in heaven. And it doesn't matter that Jesus Christ, when he went ahead and had his one smackdown with the Sadducees, where the Sadducees would get these Pharisees, these Edomite Pharisees, all bogged down into this woman who married seven brothers, and then all these brothers died, and then finally after the seventh brother died, she died, and essentially asked, okay, up in heaven, who is she going to be the wife of? And essentially, the Sadducees used to play that trick on the Pharisees to get them, just chasing their tails. And essentially, Jesus Christ said, well, don't you know this written that there's not going to be marriage, or sexual congress in paradise? Essentially, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in it, in an afterlife. In any case, you go ahead and read what happened with Paul versus the Pharisees. So, what I'm getting at is that essentially, Jesus Christ said there's not going to be no marriage or giving in marriage in the next world. And therefore, why do you think there's going to be niggers picking up virtual cotton? Do you think there's going to be cotton fields and watermelon fields and fried chicken?
the very nature of heaven to have niggers there would be an oxymoron. It would be.
Why? Well, I see what you're saying here.
It'd be poisoned. It'd be contaminated. It'd be the opposite of what it's.
Well, see, what happens? Both Fink and Eli James believe that non-whites have souls, that they're going to be resurrected. Fink and Emma Heiser believe that they're going to be resurrected and cast in the lake of fire because they're sinning here. And the Christian identity says is that they're not sinning because they're not under the law. They don't have a covenant with Yahweh. You know, Eli James, he's trying to go ahead and say, well, Fink and Emma Heiser are making Christian identity look bad because they're saying that Yahweh is going to go ahead and kill all these non-whites. And the answer is no, not directly, but essentially, Yahweh is no more responsible for raising up niggers than he is for raising up nematodes and weasels, aardvarks and armadillos, or any other creature. I mean, essentially, they're here and they're gone.
I agree. Okay. We've discussed that subject. Everyone knows our position, right or wrong.
Well, did you hear about where I went ahead and said is that, let's say I have either a John Deere or a Case mechanical cotton picker here, and essentially Fink believes it's going to be resurrected and cast in the lake of fire to be melted down here, whereas Eli James believes that if it goes ahead and has a refrigerator gear attached to it, it's not only going to be picking my virtual cotton, it's going to go ahead and serving me mint juleps, too. You know what I mean? That's how ridiculous, that's how ridiculous it is, right?
Today Eli, on his 12 o'clock Eastern program, had this guy from South Africa. I think his name was Koch. I can't remember his last name. He allegedly is a nuclear physicist, and they were discussing quantum mechanics. And the basic pitch was that somehow the Bible refers to quantum mechanics, or something can only be explained like what's a conscience. I don't know anything about that stuff, okay?
Conscious and quantum physics, essentially, I took physics class. You took a physics class.
Yeah,
I mean, did you hear anything about conscience mentioned here in the physics class?
Just because we didn't hear it, didn't know about it. But what bothers me is the basic fundamentals about quantum mechanics, Eli James knows nothing about. And some of these other clowns in there, like Big Bragg, and allegedly Jeremy Vissel was there. I don't know if it was actually him. They don't know jack about quantum physics.
They don't know jack about Christian identity, so...
Well, whatever they are. I mean, quantum physics, like the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, this is a principle where when a photon of light hits a particle, by the time the photon of light comes back to you, the particle is at a different position than when it hit. So you can only see things to a certain accuracy.
Just the very nature of trying to take a measurement changes. Essentially the path of the quantum.
Changes the momentum. It's a function of momentum and time. Other statements that Eli says, these guys are in the Baptist crap that the universe was created from a perfect vacuum. That's utter, utter nonsense. That violates every bit of common sense. When we hear about forever and forever, the matter was always here, the matter will always be here. Energy was always here, energy will always be here. Nothing came out of a vacuum, nothing's disappearing. And Elon seemed to say that energy came from a vacuum. That is ludicrous. That's Baptist crap. That is unbelievable. These guys are identity issues. They should be thinking, look, I've sent an email out to like 30 people tonight. The ideas are not going back in the barrel. Eli's going to be hammering this point. They don't know anything. They have fifth grade knowledge of science. Hiram, why did Yahweh create physics? No. Yahweh created all the laws, the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, the laws of human nature, all the laws, whatever they are. And they were created for all time. He's not going to change his mind next in a century or two. He didn't change his mind for any group of people. He changes not. Nothing about him changes. That's the nature of being perfect because he's not going to change. He doesn't need to change. No one's going to make him change. He didn't ask me about these rules. He just says, this is the way it is, boys. I don't care if you like it or not, but that's just the way it is. But some other comments. The energy and mass are interchangeable, but to say that anything comes from nothing is ludicrous. Anyway, that's about all I have to say. But today Eli, I think he really showed his ass on the subject of quantum mechanics and several other people that really have no knowledge of science. And I realize the numbers...
Well, if you have someone like Steve Elder, he doesn't have knowledge of anything. You know what I mean? He was probably saying his bit, 2 cents or, 2 shekels worth. What, you know, the question I have is that what I see, you know, throughout a number of things is that you have people who don't really know what they're talking about, you know, be they Baptist preachers or so-called Jews who are claiming to be Christian identity or what have you. Essentially, they make a bunch of profound statements, or essentially this is the way it is, when they don't know what they're talking about, and in many cases it doesn't really matter. I don't know if, you know, it doesn't say in the Bible what Yahweh made the creation out of. What? You know, in Adam's case, you know, Adam's creation, what? Oh, 7,000 years ago, according to Septuagint, 6,000-some years ago, according to the Masoretic text.
Well, so made out of existing material, whatever it may have happened to have been.
Well, then you end up having the question of where did the existing material come from? And, you know, when you go ahead and you keep on asking a bunch of questions here to which you don't really have any answers to, and try to go ahead and dig something out of the Bible over it, I think you're pretty well just simply just pulling on your butt and just claiming that you know something when you don't. I don't have a problem with someone saying, well, the Earth was 4 billion years old and that there were dinosaurs, what, 120 million to 65 million years ago. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. If you have some wigger who says that he is descended from a monkey, I say, well, yes, in your case, that's absolutely true. I mean, I don't really have too much of an argument because I did study a little bit of engineering, and I sort of realized is that, you know, science isn't what it used to be. It used to be about, essentially finding out what is true. And nowadays, quote, science isn't. It's about going ahead and getting the results of people who go in and pay you. So-called science is just nothing more than whoredom right now. You understand what I'm saying? It's not really science anymore, is it?
The subject of race is a forbidden subject in science. You know, it's only the color of your skin. What a bunch of horseshit that is.
Reality still remains the same. I mean, if you end up having about, 15 niggers head to your house to go ahead and essentially kill, you know, rape and sodomize you and your family and kill and eat you, I mean, hey, some wiggers say, well, hey, we're all equal underneath the skin. I mean, that's sort of irrelevant to a nigger, ain't it? Right?
In any event, Martin, we cannot comprehend infinity or eternity. It's beyond our comprehension. Either the mass always existed or it came out of nothing. I mean, those are the two possibilities. At any rate, we've discussed that subject enough now for people to make up their own minds and think about it. Let me take off and let the comrade or other people get on.
Okay, well, since I don't think you know too much about old Bishop Bill White here or anything like that here. At the same time, Finkelschini had Brian Rio on, Finkelschini's running around, supposedly, according to him, he's wandering the USA in the Chevrolet or whatever.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
That comrade, is he a complete jackass? He says the mass is what is everything. Is comrade going to explain to us how the priest...
Oh, comrade is a Catholic, Canadian, and he sort of believes his Roman Catholic belief here.
Because I would like to hear the wine and the blood bullshit. Anyone who believes the wine and blood crap is a complete fool. No, there's never been a scientific examination of that ever. The English Protestants have been asking Jesuits that for 400 years. They have never got an answer. It's a total, complete, utter fraud. Anyway, let me get off of him. If Comrade wants to come on, I'd like to hear what he has to say.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I'm glad you could be on for a little bit here. Is there anything else going on in the movement that I should know about?
I know of.
John the Nutjob, he got all sort of snippy at me here. Last show here, don't talk to me again here. Everybody thinks you're a nut. And I was thinking of going ahead and chewing on his ass and saying, well, John the Nutjob, they both agree that I'm insane and you're insane, but, you know, me they think of as a sociopath. You they think of as a pathetic
here. The information you and I present will never go back in the barrel. It may be right, it may be wrong. It'll never go back in the barrel. People can think about whatever they want to think of it. But I'm waiting for this jackass to tell me about turning wine into blood.
The Roman Catholics sort of believe that here. Back in 1635, the Swedes here, some of my relatives in Justice Adolphus's army sort of told, you know, pretty well made it quite clear to the Catholics in southern Germany that we'll go ahead and see about the wine and the blood. Can you go ahead and turn boiling, you know, Swedish piss and shit, you know, into the wine and blood, or the body, you know, the body and blood of Christ here? And usually, from what I gather, the little empirical experiment here, what with 10 buckets and funnels, didn't work out too good for the Catholics here. They're still whining in southern Germany about Die Schwedentrunken.
If they can turn wine into blood and they can forgive sin, they can heal the sick. And they can't heal the sick, they can't turn wine into blood, they can't forgive sin. It's a complete, utter, total fraud. I'm going to get off the phone.
Okay, well, I'll let you go finally here then, Russ. Anyway, you have a good one. Hail victory then.
Good night.
Good night. All righty. Well, anyway, maybe we'll go ahead and talk about 1635 Swedish homeopathy in a minute here. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take, about a 2 or 3 minute break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes here. Hail victory. I'm sort of wondering what's going on up in Canada right now.
Hey, Pastor Martin.
Hey, how we doing, Jacob Israel? It sounded like you were doing something that Victor Switzer always got annoyed about me doing, i.e. on-air urination. Okay?
Oh, no. I was taking a drink of water. A drink of water from the tap.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Were you like a dog just lapping it up from the top here, right?
Yeah. And you unmuted me in the middle of that, so.
Yeah. I was sort of wondering what was going on. I went ahead and I've sort of caught up a bit with the past shows here. I was a little bit annoyed at you. It sounded like you were playing a video game when you were talking to me the other day here.
I was playing Call of Duty. I remember I said I was playing it while I was talking to you. I said I was training for the apocalypse.
I remember.
And then
I went ahead and downloaded a song. I'm trying to remember what song I did when I re-engineered it here. In any case, here, Don't sound like you're playing a war game now here. And are you done? Are you done?
I'm in a quiet room, and I'm all good. Just in the basement, where I can talk, and I don't have nothing on, like a TV or nothing. But yeah, last time I was just
That's good.
Yeah, playing video games and trying to, it's like Anders Breivik. He trained on, it was like I was saying last week. If you got nothing else but Call of Duty, fucking at least try. At least do something. Get comfortable shooting guns, and there's going to be a time when you're going to have to take up your guns and fight for your life. So.
Well, I think it's somewhat different playing Call of Duty.
It's the only options really I got. I should go start the.
Well, they're not very nice in Canada here.
No, gun rights, dude.
Yeah,
you got like no rights when it comes to guns. It's crazy. I live in the murder capital, like in Winnipeg. It's the murder capital of Canada. It's
really
crazy. Oh yeah, you got these Indians killing each other. Indians just you'll just have these Indians walking.
They allow them to drink.
Oh yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. They allow them to drink, and they're all. It is basically we give them welfare, and they just spend that all on booze and.
They do that in South Dakota back when
Indians are
law against white men giving the Indians guns or fire water here, because usually it didn't go ahead and end up very good. But now what the Indians do at Pine Ridge or something like that is that they're not allowed to really buy liquor in South Dakota. So what they do is they go ahead and they go across the border to Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go ahead and buy liquor. And I remember when I was in the nut house, they were all pissed off because some of the tribal elders decided that, the knifings and shootings were getting out of hand, so they went ahead and burned the liquor store, which was across the state line.
Oh,
so then they had to go ahead and go another 60 miles in order to buy liquor, which meant that they had less money to buy liquor with, and everyone was pissed off at the elders here or the tribal chiefs. We're going ahead and burning down the liquor store.
Oh, shit. That's a major experiment.
Why South Dakota knows better than to go ahead and go to any of the Indian reservations on the first weekend or the third weekend.
See, basically, Winnipeg, Canada logic, just mainly Manitoba logic is just don't go to reserve, period. Just because... you don't go there on, obviously the welfare days, which is every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah,
it's called
BIA Day, Girls Indian Affairs Check.
Yeah, this is, we have welfare down here, and you just automatically get it, basically. And, it's going to be fuck them, but then if you go there when it's not, they don't have money, then they're in, like, full-on fucking, we're going to kill you for your money and take whatever you have, Or if you're stupid enough to show up with beer to give to the Indians, and drink with them, then you're kind of bringing it upon yourself,
Well, that's what happened, though. It was about a dozen years ago. Some idiot from New York here went to, this wasn't as bad an Indian reservation as Pine Ridge. That's the worst here.
I heard about that.
This dumb wigger, this was around 2000-2001, he went during the first weekend, when no white South Dakotans on the Indian reservation, because they know how the Indians are.
Yeah.
And essentially went over there, and essentially they went in, they got all drunk and started thinking about the evil white man. They killed his worthless ass.
Yeah.
And essentially nobody from white South Dakota thought, he sort of had it coming. Because he shouldn't have gone here to Indian reservation when they have it all lifted up.
It's the problem, though, is these guys, they go for that fucking Indian pussy, because there's some, it's hard to admit they're not, some of them are attractive,
they're attractive when they're sort of young, but shit.
Yeah, exactly, when they're young, that's what I'm talking about, the young ones, and they're still fresh, they haven't been abused, but you don't want to recreate with them, you want to,
Well, no, you don't want to do that. But You want to wear rubber. They're like niggers. They have five times the rate of syphilis here than you get from
Hawaii. Yeah. It's like that here, too. They got
Indians.
Yeah.
Indians don't change just because of a boundary line. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think I'd do one, you know, but I'm just saying, like all these guys that do, they, you know, obviously, because I'm more racially aware where I wasn't, you know, back when I was in high school and you're in junior high and you're just indoctrinated into the Jews are just indoctrinated in you to love the niggers and the multicultural fucking anti-racism shit. And it's all like all the cool kids, you know, are like, oh, yeah, it's not cool to be racist, so... You know, when you're young and fucking trying to be in the group, you know, obviously you're not going to have any of these beliefs. Like, when I was young, it was like fucking Vanilla Ice came out with Ice Baby in, like, grade 7. It was, like, the number one song. You'd always hear it. Every white kid all of a sudden was a wigger, you know? So I was, like, wanted to be a wigger.
Ice Baby or something like that.
You know, I'm just young and impressionable, and fucking everyone all of a sudden is a wigger. That's
well,
the cool thing to be.
You end up having taken old rock songs and then turned them into crap, you know.
But the funny thing still, though, is Vanilla Ice, a white boy, fucking came out with a song that still to this day, like, no one I don't think has beat it in terms of sales. None of these monkeys can put out the song as good as the white boy did. And just that one song alone, I don't think any rap song has come close to selling as many copies as that wigger did. So still, the wigger, the white man's doing the nigger's game better than the nigger ever could, you know? And
well, like Marshall Mathers here.
He's kind of a bitch, but whatever. The funny thing about Eminem is John DeNugent was praising 8 Mile. I remember on Liberty Forum, it was like one of the very beginning of his thread. He was, like, praising the movie 8 Mile. He had it in his YouTube account, too. He was like, oh, I really like the movie 8 Mile because it shows the struggle of a white man in the, you know, the African-American-dominated music industry. And it's like, what the fuck?
Did you see
his latest video? His latest video where he's got, like, these things and he's, like, making a crushing motion and then it has, like, Bilderberg and he, like, has these, like, cheap effects. Like, it just... you gotta watch it. It's on his website. It's his new opener.
I wonder if the Bilderberger's ass raped him too when he was young. Too.
Oh yeah. But you just gotta see it. Like, it's just kind of like, are you trying to? Is this? You know, you can tell he's trying to joke, but it's just he's too fucked in the head to. You know, you can tell like, yeah, you're trying to, you make it as a joke, but it's just you're too fucked in the head already because all the child molestation and. I want to make like a Jaunty Nugget
I didn't get around to chewing on, you know, the Nugents. His actual name is John Nugent here.
It is John Nugent. John Henry Nugent. That's his full name.
What happens is he had this here little Finnish kid.
Henry Palapa,
The nut job went ahead and took advantage of him, and he did this, he did that. And I mean, old John is just simply a nut job. And I was going to chew on his ass. I was going to chew on his ass, and I figured out, old Johnny, he's not even worth it, really.
It's so washed up. Like, he's, like, literally to the point where he's begging for donations, and then he, like, tries to pull it.
I think he went ahead and beat up his old lady to put up with his crap for about a dozen.
There's a domestic abuse.
You know, they lost the house in which he lived in for a while. And then
he was running around
homeless or something. And
he was living in a motel. But the funny thing is he aired all his shit to Henrik Kalupa's girlfriend in, like, France or something like that. And he was, like, calling her a fat pig. John DeNugent was calling her, like, a fat pig. And, like, he was, like, just airing all the shit out in public. Like, oh, you let my house get taken over by cats. Like, she had, like, 18, 20 cats or something. The Margaret chick, his fiancée.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, what kind of man are you, man? You let this bitch come in, overrun your house with cats? You know, and then he's just like,
well, I don't know. The nudes seems to me like he's sort of like a quasi male cat lady himself here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. That's what I mean. I want to make like an album of like a song that the nude was molested to. You know, like that Rose Garden song. You know, he was big on like it's like an old classic country song. You know, I'll forever promise you a rose garden.
I'll promise you a rose garden.
Yeah, that one, the rose garden. Fucking, huh? There's a couple more he always uses, and it's just like, yeah, you're probably molested to those as a kid, you know? Because one time, he used it all at the same time, it'd be like, my father, the hero, and then the second, you know, the next day, he's like, yeah, my father molested me, you know, like.
Yeah, well, it used to be his mama molested him here.
Yeah,
his dad molested him, too.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess his brother, his sister.
Yeah.
You know, his uncle, his aunt.
They
just were going ahead and bringing on strap on when they came by here for the president.
Yeah.
So, come on, John. I mean, if you want to be president here, essentially, you don't go ahead and dwell on it.
Exactly. You just
anyway, I want to get off John to next.
Yeah, no, he's not worth it. Yeah. So
we have fun here. Russ wanted to go ahead and talk about the Roman Catholic belief and Eucharist or communion or whatever.
Well, see, it's just for me. It's just I'm not like Roman Catholic to the point where I believe like totally in what the Pope says, and I'm not like that, you know. But I believe in. You know, I just choose to accept it, you know, like shit like the, you know, the bread and wine becoming fucking Jesus' body and blood, because it's just like in the Bible, he straight out says, this is my body, this is my blood, and it's a piece of bread in the Bible, you know, so fucking it's just kind of hocus pocus magic, and I just choose to accept it, it's just part of the belief, and I only like the Latin Mass, you know, I don't go to the new mass anymore. Fucking the new mass, the Vatican II mass, all the shit happened after Vatican II. But pretty much, I'm like one of the traditionalist Catholic where I don't really fucking follow the Pope or anything. It's kind of almost like the Orthodox, but without the married priest. You know, like it's almost like that. But you know, I've got great respect for the Orthodox. The Catholic Orthodox. I like the Catholic teachings. You know,
you were raised Catholic then.
No, I was not raised Catholic. I was raised Protestant.
Anglican. Really?
Yeah, Anglican. I chose on my own free will, and it was pretty much the Virgin Mary, which is what kind of got me into it. And it's just something, whatever. You know, I choose. It's my choice. You know, it's kind of the Christian rationality. Of it, and that's why I like is where
but
I, you know,
Appy,
you're
Appy gets into his own little version.
Yeah, he kind of goes, you know, like because it's just kind of like
I call it Mamsertholicism because essentially, you know, Appy. Yeah, you know, I tried to explain to him the basics of Christian identity.
Yeah,
I mean, essentially, Appy didn't much care for it. Appy sort of snarled and snapped at me and John Britton stumbling. So I got to where, well, essentially, Appy, you're just a dog and a swine. I'm not going to cast any more pearls before you, but I might go ahead and break out a pout flat here.
Yeah,
you leprous armadillo, you, and essentially, Appy. Oh, heck, when I did a show with you a couple of times ago, Appy acted like he understood a little bit about Christian identity, and then he started going ahead and crashing and burning.
Yeah, that's the thing. I identify as a Roman Catholic, but I believe in the 12 tribes theory totally. Like, you know, it just makes sense to me that fucking you have 10 lost tribes at the time of the New Testament comes out.
Well, actually,
it was
all 13 tribes because all elements were
Well, that's what I mean. Jesus is talking about I've come to gather the 10 lost tribes, you know. So just right there, that says, you know, they've already disappeared from Jerusalem, you know, at the time of Jesus coming 2000 and whatever years ago.
Well, you still had mainly Judeans. You still had some other Israelites because In 721 to 719, yeah. when the Assyrians came, they went ahead and they also went into Judea, and they not only took away captivity, the Israelites,
yeah.
but they went ahead and took captivity away a bunch of the towns in Benjamin and in Judea and in the tribe of Simeon, and the Levite priests were there. But essentially, Jerusalem and five other fortified towns, especially the Assyrians, didn't break into. And later on, when they tried to go ahead and come back, essentially Yahweh went ahead and killed off by a plague most of their soldiers, so he had to go ahead and go back. And essentially, that king got assassinated in a palace coup when he had to go ahead and go back. So essentially, you have all 13 tribes, because the tribe of Joseph is two tribes, both Ephraim and Manasseh. So there's actually 13 tribes.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually most people think it's the lost 10 tribes. And, you know, that's the basis of Christian identity. And pretty well dual seed line has a good deal of trouble with the Roman Catholic belief in that we sort of believe it's part of the continuation of the Baal cult of Cybele, founded by the first pope, was not Simon Peter, but Simon Magus.
Oh, yeah.
And essentially go on and on and on. So generally, what happens, I've been to a few Catholic services in my time.
Well, have you been to the Vatican-affiliated Roman Catholic or, like, traditionalist Catholics? Traditionalist Catholic is...
They had some
big difference
about that house. I'd go there to get off the ward.
Because if it's just a regular Vatican II Novus Ordo Roman Catholic Mass, it is like the nigger-loving, Jew-loving fucking Roman Catholic Church. But the traditionalist Catholic Church is like the good old-fashioned Jew-hating, you know, like fucking blood libel, you know, like Jesus' blood is on your hands, fucking rounding up Jews, not apologizing for shit. You know, that's the traditionalist Catholic. They're like kind of like, fuck you to the Vatican. You're just a bunch of pedophiles, and you're kind of
I think you end up having that.
Yeah, but if you went to a Novus Ordo Vatican II fucking service, yeah, it's bullshit.
With the Baal cult of Cybele.
Yeah.
Essentially, Cybele was also known as Diana.
Yeah.
And essentially, her priests would, in order to go ahead and become priests, they'd go ahead and castrate themselves.
Yeah.
In order, you know, so they wouldn't be subject to, well, homosexual or whatever, temptation.
Yeah.
And that went on for a little while, and then eventually they said, well, no, you're supposed to be tempted like everybody else. No more castrating yourself, because a lot of people sort of thought, well, hey, I'm being treated by some guy who cut off his dick and his nuts, and essentially I think the guy's a weirdo. And essentially that was keeping people, you know, especially from the northern climate, from coming back in here. So I'm not a big fan of the Roman Catholic Church at all.
I can understand, but it's like when it comes down to it, if just joining up together with Christians to wipe out other fucking people to join together, like the Southern Baptists and shit, they're pretty fucking white, you know, like they're all white. Fucking, the problem is they're too Israel loving, you know. They're fucking like, you know, oh yeah, fucking Israel put on this earth because God chose fucking, you know, the Jews to be, you know, like all those evangelicals, they're too pro-Israel, that's the problem. But otherwise, they're fucking like white people with guns that know to shoot. And if it comes down to, you know, fucking, that's kind of like Christian rationality. It's just kind of, if it comes down to it, I'd rather be with other white Christians who had the same generalized belief in Christianity, and you can just kind of work out your differences, like, okay, we'll agree to disagree, you know, like, you don't agree with my Catholic shit, that's okay, you know, I'm not going to...
Well, I don't know, I mean...
That's cool, you know, that's what's beautiful about our fucking... The world we live is, you know, we can just, you know, agree to disagree, and we can have our different beliefs, but still we can get along, you know. We don't have to fucking be at each other's throats, you know, because that's kind of like that Mediterranean, Spanish, Italian and shit, you know, where you just hate each other for some stupid reason, you know, because you can't agree on fucking the true version of Christianity, you know, like just fucking... It's just no good, you know. Whites shouldn't be fighting other whites. But I remember someone else before Papoff mentioned.
I see what I was up there. I got pretty well annoyed at the Roman Catholic Church because this bitch Jay Smith.
Yeah. The Roman Catholic Church is a lot of bullshit, man. Yeah.
And
for sure.
What happens? This bitch went ahead and essentially I said, well, hey, I don't want to be doped up by religious scruples against it. And this bitch Jay Smith went ahead, convened a little ecclesiastical hearing in order to get around Revised Statute of Missouri, 620.180.
Yeah.
And essentially ruled that my beliefs was not recognized by the state, and therefore they could dope me up as damn well they felt like. And I said, look, you bitch, you need to go ahead and suffer. You need to go ahead and suffer a little bit of Swedish waterboarding here, to where essentially us Swedes went ahead and taught you damn papist motherfuckers. About how it's a good thing to let everybody believe as he sees fit here.
Yeah, I feel pretty much the same way against like the Roman Catholic hierarchy church, like the Vatican. It's like kind of like, you're a bunch of papist motherfuckers, you know, and just the Pope is a fucking joke. You know, he's a total. He's got to be like, you know, it's like all the traditionalist Catholics, they just openly believe like, the fucking Vatican's been infiltrated by communists. You know, it's Freemasonry. You know, the Jews have taken over the Catholic Church. They control the Vatican. The Rothschilds control the fucking Vatican's bank. You know, they control the banking of the Vatican. That's who the Vatican bankers are, the Rothschilds. So that tells you right there, you know, it's Jew-controlled. So basically, to accept the Roman Catholic faith, but then not the church, you're basically like, okay, well, the church that it is now isn't the real Roman Catholic Church. It's like a bullshit bastardization, you know, with infiltrated by communists and shit, and that's why I said there's a bunch of papist motherfuckers, basically. But
off the Roman Catholic.
But we can agree to disagree, you know.
Generally, Christianity is not a proselytized religion. In many cases, even if you're white and you don't go ahead and believe us because Jesus Christ has not called you. At least that's what we tend to believe. Anyway, have you managed to go ahead and talk Kane into opening up a Z bulletin for him or anything, something like that?
I don't know how. I gotta see, like, because I think he owns a Fora.co. I gotta check if he has the old Z bulletin, but he's kind of, you know, he's like the administrator, so he kind of calls.
He got it running as the Lyceum here. I wouldn't mind if he'd opened up the Lyceum to new posts here.
That's what we should do. Is just, you know, change it back. If the Lyceum was a good thing, change it to the Fora.
Just leave the name here and essentially just open it to new posting. All you have to do is just do a switch here.
I have a Lycia section under the Fora.
Okay, on the next
Just somehow switch it so we have is the real Fora, because I like that. You know, like, we're the real Fora, you guys are the fake Fora, you know, because we say so.
Well,
and somehow switch it over. Yeah, I'd like that. You know.
All right. Are you gonna maybe do a show? You didn't do a show Saturday.
Are you thought about maybe
doing a show Monday or something?
I don't know. Possibly. I gotta see how I'm feeling. I'm doing all this work shit right now, so I get pretty tired out in the evenings, and I got homework and stuff. I'm at the very end of my school, basically, and then.
Oh, okay.
Summertime, I'll be totally free, you know, until.
Well, generally, it's up to you, Breck, and Kane here. Let's go ahead and I don't know if you know very much about Bitch Kiss Bill White. I want to go ahead and ask about what's white nationalism like in Canada. Now, you end up having a whole bunch of hate crime laws and anti-gun laws and a lot of stuff you don't have.
Yeah.
Fogland.
Pretty much white nationalism in Canada, it's pretty much a joke. Like, I think maybe except for Alberta. I think Alberta's got like a few pretty good solid groups well, not like super solid, but just where enough where they make a presence and they'll, like, you know, have a march and stuff like that. But you don't really hear about it. It's very underground. Like, what I do know is, like, the Ku Klux Klan here in Manitoba. Like, I know, but they're, as I remember always hearing about the Ku Klux Klan Castle, all these people in high school be talking about it, like, oh, yeah, there's a KKK castle, and I finally saw it, like, about, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and it was like a freaking mansion, just shaped like a castle, you know, just had a castle shape, but it was like a newly built mansion, pretty much, and I was like, holy shit, that's the KKK castle, like, yeah, that motherfucker is rich. And, like, all around it, there's, like, it's, like, its own little community, eh? Like, it's pretty much its own little gated community. This guy probably owns the land, and he just has all his buddy clan members living right on the land with him, you know, on a big kind of parcel of land. And they've got it gated, you know. And I know there's, you know, they have, like, their ceremonies and shit, but they'll have the security guards and stuff, so... I know the Klan's active. It's totally not like, hey, let's have a fucking website and do our business over the internet where the government fucking just picks it up right away. You know, it's like more like, it's very quiet.
I heard that supposedly because essentially now you end up having a bunch of raghead Muslims that they pretty well worked on to where they've, you know, essentially now that the ragheads have gone from the lower levels of law to the higher levels of law and to the Canadian Supreme Court, that they are pretty well doing away with the anti-Jew, quote, hate speech laws here, so that essentially all these ragheads can go ahead and hate up on Jews all they want here. Or at least that's something I went ahead and seen. I didn't pay too much attention to that. Do you know anything about that?
It's kind of like, there's a line, you know, like, you can't, like, it's pretty much like, most of these people, I think, like, when they, like, I got Ernest Zundel, I'm pretty sure it's because he went to Germany and he said that shit in Germany, and that's why he got arrested, you know, like, when he came back.
Oh, we're talking about Zundel? You're talking about Zundel now.
Yeah, well, like, all those people that, you know, were Canadian, they got arrested, I'm pretty sure it's because they went to, like, Germany or something, or they went to some other country, and they, you know, said their shit, and then, the German authorities.
He got extradited from Germany to Canada, then from Canada to Germany.
Yeah.
And I think he got turned loose about a year or so ago.
Yeah. So I think it was actually because of the fact he said shit in Germany, that's why he got charged, you know. Like, if he said it in Canada, he'd be okay, you know. Like, pretty much, you have the right in Canada to, like, you know, question the Holocaust and shit, you know. Like, you can just question it. It just comes down to a point where it's like, as long as they're not saying, like, you fucking Jew, I'm going to fucking kill you, that's definitely you cross the line, you know, but... Until then, you can totally sit there. Like, we got this Canadian Museum of Human Rights. Like, the I think it's going to turn against the Jews pretty soon here because they fucking, this Asper family who owns, like, most of the Canadian media, they went ahead and got this, like, oh, we're going to build this Canadian Museum of Human Rights, which is like a Jew museum, like the Holocaust Museum, basically, like in Washington, where that James Von Braun went on a shooting spree, and this is like one of those just attracting buildings for a shooting spree, or something's going to happen, man. Some crazy raghead is going to shoot it up or anything, because it's just already known as, like, the Holocaust Museum, and they're trying to say, like, oh, it's not just the Holocaust Museum, you know, like, but, you know, already all the people are just like, fuck this, this is a Holocaust Museum, and we're just sinking all this money into it, and they fucking ran out of money, so now we got this big, empty fucking huge fucking thing that is just sitting there and it's not progressing.
Well, nobody's even bothered to go to it. Let me go ahead.
It hasn't even opened.
About how is the economy? How is the economy up in Canada? I know you got
actually pretty good right now. We've managed to go through pretty good. Like, it's fucked. The Canadian dollar is trading pretty much on par with the American dollar, which is, you know, that's a bad sign for America. You know, if the Canadian dollar.
Most of the time, Canadian dollar is worth about 70 cents or so.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Because when I was going camping in the States when I was like maybe 7, 8 years old, and putting up a dollar and getting like 70 cents, not even three video game plays, you know, for a fucking dollar, you know, and it's just like, Jesus Christ, this is crazy.
But on the other hand, things are quite expensive in Canada. I remember when I used to go up to Ontario, I'd usually go ahead and come in on the, quote, Peace Bridge around Niagara Falls, and then go up to Toronto, and then around Windsor, go into Detroit, and I forget, yeah, I think that was called the Ambassador Bridge. And essentially, everything was expensive. Everything was expensive as could be in Canada. Fuel, drinks, what have you. And you'd end up spending $5 for just a little 16-ounce, fruit drink, and maybe a ding-dong that'd cost, $1.50 in the States here. So essentially, even though that the Canadian dollar wasn't worth as much, it was quite expensive. Far more expensive than even New York here.
I know in the States we're always it's great. Like they just changed the limit to double the amount that you can bring back now duty free, that you don't have to pay taxes on. So it's double the amount now, just starting this year, that you can go to the States everyone, they go to the States, you know, and they just go shopping. They go to like Grand Forks. Usually it's like a 2-hour drive. In North Dakota, I think, at Grand Forks is. And, they'll just go there and, they just go shopping all weekend, you know. And Grand Forks, well, before the flood at least, I don't know, maybe they rebuilt it again. But, tons of Canadians do that for buying your booze, your smokes, everything, you know.
Well, I remember when I went on my Ural Pass here, in Sweden, and they would go 3 miles outside of Stockholm, Sweden, and then they would go ahead and open. This is on the ferry to Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what you have is that the ferry essentially is different than the ferry between Italy and Greece from Piraeus outside Athens. And essentially, they would have, even if you have a board space here, I mean, essentially it's Ural Pass, we wouldn't go ahead and get a cabin. We'd go ahead, but you still end up having a cabin. But what you would have is you would have these Swedes, they get three miles outside from Stockholm, and essentially what they would do is they'd break open the cigarette shops, they'd break open the liquor shops, and you'd end up having, I'd go ahead and see Swedes with 3 cigarettes in their hands, just smoking, just sucking essentially they were drinking like crazy. And what they had a smorgasbord to where you could have old kippered herrings and lutefisk and all sorts of, all sorts of roast beef, all sorts of delicacies.
Yeah.
And essentially it only cost, $6 for the feed. So essentially what they'd be doing is they'd be selling, maybe selling the cigarettes to where essentially it was it was $4 or $5 a pack here, and whereas when I was there you didn't pay any cigarette taxes.
Well,
you could buy Marlboros at the Class 6 store for essentially $2.30 I forget how many came in a pack here. I think there were 10. Packs to a carton or something.
Yeah. 10 packs.
So essentially what happens is that the pack costs 23 cents, while meanwhile in Germany they're costing 10 times as much, and they're not really, they're not really smoking real Marlboros. They're smoking this tobacco that they imported from the United States and other places here. And Germans, they'd want you to go ahead and give them real Marlboros. Well, same way. And essentially, here were all these Swedes that were drinking Johnny Walker Red and Johnny Walker Black and drinking Scotch and drinking all, American lit, Jack Daniels. And,
yeah.
I mean, it was 10 or 20 times what it cost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's crazy because the cigarettes right now here where I am, in Manitoba, they're right now for like a brand name like Export or Players, they're like 12 $12 a pack to $14, depending on where you buy them, for a pack of 25.
Well, it's $3 or $4 a pack here in the United States.
I think that's what I mean. Yeah, I don't buy any,
but you know, I don't really know how much they.
Yeah, I don't buy packs either. But yeah, it's like it's crazy. You know, like $12 to $14 a pack for one pack of cigarettes right now. So, you know, it's crazy.
Oh,
same with things in Canada.
You know, you end up having a whole bunch of these wogs and sand niggers and all
yeah,
the rest.
Yeah, and you gotta pay for it for Medicare.
Do they get welfare or anything like that?
Oh
too?
Yeah, it's basically their right. Welfare is like their right. You know, it's like, hey, come to our country and we'll give you welfare when you get here. You know, and then hey, you know what? For every kid you have, you get more money. So fucking hey, well, you're already here. You're a landed immigrant. We'll have like, you know, 10 kids. You know, and then you got 10 kids, and they get extra money for each kid. Same with the Indians.
Do they do that for white people? Do they do that for white people or what?
Well, white people too, but it's just kind of like, why be a fucking burden on society that like that? You know, that's just not the white way really. Is to sit there on welfare and have more kids every 3 years because they're gonna kick you off welfare. So if you have another kid, they can't kick you off welfare. So all these niggers, Indians, basically everyone but the whites that should be populating. But that's what I love about this traditionalist Catholic is Christ. You go there and there's just white people and they've got like 8 kids each, man. You know, and they like, yeah, like all this blonde hair, blue eye kids. You know, and that's kind of nice to see. You know, but it's just disgusting, you know, to see the white birth rate compared to the niggers and Muslims and shit coming. Like, it's, you know, it's sad, too, because the white people, they have the common sense to, like, well, why should I bring 8 kids in right now when I can't afford it, you know? But, you know, these niggers, Indians, Pakis and shit, it's like, well, I get more money, you know, from the government if I have more kids, so I'm just going to have kids to get more money, you know?
Okay, you hear much of the French or the French Canadians wanting to secede anymore, or what?
Oh, yeah, they still sometimes, but they kind of been taken over by WOGs and shit, and the Frenchmen, they're just kind of confined to Quebec now and, like, certain parts of Montreal, but they've been so multiculturalized that basically they can't get the vote anymore to succeed. You know, for a while they probably would have, but they almost were there, but then all of a sudden now it's like they're probably one of the tops in immigration for especially Muslims. This is like France, you know. France, they got so many goddamn Muslims. The Muslims start rioting, and you can't even control them, you know. Like, that's how many of them
well,
are.
Well, no, they can't, you know. Essentially what happens, they're just Muslim niggers who come from Algeria.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially what they've done is that they've recolonized, you know, essentially the so-called colonializers, and essentially, oh, you end up having, you know, I mean, what do you do? What do you do with niggers? I mean, what can you do with niggers?
Well, put them to work in a field, you know, like they, it sounds like they
well,
have pretty
good.
Well,
I mean,
good, you
I know, that's what I went ahead and looked. I went ahead and looked, you know, about mechanical cotton pickers.
Yeah.
I wanted to make
that's
fun of
much.
My
James. That's too much.
To go ahead and use these, you wanted to use these old-fashioned cotton pickers.
Yeah, exactly.
And what they said is that even the very early cotton pickers, the very first ones, which would not do that good a job, still could go ahead and pick more cotton than 30 niggers could. Well, what happens is that now you end up having in this country, you know, I was looking at the latest from 2007, 2008,
yeah. Yeah.
Case and, you know, John Deere cotton pickers that not only pick the cotton, what they do is they make the cotton where essentially they get it ready to be put out in a cotton gin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They modulate it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, those things cost a lot of fucking money, man. Like a John Deere, they're like $100,000.
Yeah, but it's still cheaper. It's still cheaper than paying 500, you know, or 1,000 niggers. I mean, one cotton, mechanical John Deere or
yeah.
You know, John Deere or case cotton, you know, cotton picker can go ahead essentially and pick more cotton than 1,000, you know, than 1,000 niggers ever
could.
Yeah,
but, you know, we got like thousands of niggers here in America, and this is the problem. They got nothing to do, so they're around gangbanging and shit, and if we just put them to work and just fucking sat there on a horse, you know, white boys with shotguns, and just beat them fucking senseless, you know, whip them and shit, you know, faster, niggers, faster, you know, and then fed them gruel. You know, and you probably maybe 200,000 a year. I'm sure you could get a lot of cotton, you know, and just make them build
well,
those fucking huts.
I sort of think that a John Deere cotton picker or a Case cotton picker is essentially you'll get more work out of the John Deere or the Case than
but
you ever will.
It'd be a way to
it'd be a way
to solve the nigger problem, you know, and get them to work. And fucking just get them under control, you know. It's like work brings freedom, you know. Work brings joy. You know, you want good nigger too tired from working all day. And, you know, then you got to rope some up, you know, to make an example. Fucking, you know, take the, you know, whatever. It's like take the guy's wife, fucking rope her up, you know, in front of the rest of the niggers. Like, well, there you go. Pick cotton faster or your fucking family's next, boy. And, you know, say you got a nigger, Kwanzaa or whatever, and, you know, you want to rename him, just well, give him to me, fucking, his name will be Toby in an hour, I guarantee you, sir. You know, and then white people make money off overseers and shit, you know, just go out there and, I don't know, you know, because if we go back to a state of, you know, kind of renewal, you know, back to the America's glory days when it was, like, all farming and stuff. And, you know, now it's just all, it's all shit, you know. It's just gone to shit. Everyone's just working in offices and stuff. But, you know, everyone talking, it seems like everyone was happier back in the days when they were just, like, farming and shit, you know. So, you know, we got to, you know, if there's a total nuclear kind of fucked up thing and we go into this state that all these people are preparing for, too, you know, like, there's a crazy amount of people, like, here in Canada, too. There's people preparing for an apocalypse, you know. Like, they're dead set on it. It's just like the nuclear shelters in the 50s, you know. People were fucking building these crazy-ass nuclear shelters, stocking them up with food. That shit's happening all over again, you know. People are preparing.
I got hung up here. And anyway, so in short, they are essentially... You have, in most cases, white people, essentially, they're feeling or doing, essentially, they're under the same pressures as they are here in the United States.
Yeah.
Where essentially what they're doing is they're seeing niggers and all these other immigrants.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Around, taking over, and essentially race traitor politicians are running wild. And essentially, they're doing a little bit better because, well, probably the Albertan, you know, tar sands. It's not really well known, but the biggest importer of oil to this country is not Saudi Arabia, but actually Canada. You know, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, possibly. It's the oil sands, yeah, in Alberta. And the funny thing with the oil sands is they're just basically a natural oil spill. Like, you basically cleaning them up is environmentally good, you know, like, it's just basically, it's sand. And just oil's leaking up from the earth in this sand, you know, so nothing can live on it because it's covered in oil. So they, like, you know, taken these oil sands, refined it, gotten all the oil out of it, and, you know, then they've got, like, this beautiful, pristine forest afterwards because they've cleaned it out of all the oil, you know, so they're basically renewing the environment by cleaning the oil sands because that's basically what's happening is it's just being cleaned, you know, like...
Well,
it's just the oil leaking up from the earth into sands, you know,
okay.
So that's what the oil sands are.
It's sort of like in, say, Wyoming, where essentially at the Powder River, you are not going ahead and destroying wonderful forests. You're not destroying anything other than about maybe, about a foot of dirt, a foot of black dirt. And
yeah.
Underneath, you know, which essentially has nothing but greasy sagebrush on it.
Yeah.
So go ahead, essentially pasture maybe 200-300 cows per couple hundred acres.
Yeah.
And essentially what they're doing is they're just taking the soil off, scraping it off, lay it to the side, and then what they're doing is they're just digging for these seams of coal. And I sort of think that in this country, what they ought to do what they ought to do is rather than, you know, once they go ahead and they take a rail car, to the essentially half of American electricity is powered by Wyoming low sulfur coal.
Yeah.
Essentially, I think what I do is that rather than take these cars back empty, they ought to go ahead and fill it full of this fly ash and go ahead essentially and then just tarp it up and then take it right back up to Wyoming and essentially put a liner in it and essentially, make it so it's sort of inert that you go ahead and you put the fly ash back where you went ahead and found the old where you dug the coal up once the coal's been dug up here is what I sort of think ought to be done.
Yeah.
And what happens in this country if you didn't have niggers and Jews and the rest living off the white man, essentially destroying this sort of thing, we could go ahead and make our own diesel, we could go ahead and make our own gasoline, we could go ahead and make whatever we wanted out of the coal, we could go ahead and use the thorium salts to go ahead and create a thorium, essentially a thorium reactor. We could go ahead, essentially, and do whatever the heck we need to do. But here in the United States, what it boils down to is that we're paying, essentially all the money, both in Europe, both in the United States, everywhere, is being sucked out by thieving Jews.
Yeah.
And essentially, the whole point is to go ahead and make the white man pay. And there's no money left to go ahead and mine the store and to keep the processes running. It's just like cutting a white man's throat and then having him bleed out to where he dies. And essentially, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, anymore, because once the white man's dead as a race or as a people, there's nothing more left.
Well, that's like with the General Motors. They bought out. They bought the rights to all of Nikola Tesla's research, so they could suppress it, And like Nikola Tesla had basically done shit, just kind of hey, you can just. I'm pretty sure the Tesla coil, it literally just pulls electricity out of the air. Because,
essentially it was the basis of the essentially a number of things. The Tesla was to go ahead and take static electricity out of the air.
Yeah.
And in many cases, what they're doing is they're still trying to go ahead and find out about how to, send electricity through the air, just like lightning, without the need for wires, without, poles. And also go ahead and take it out of the atmosphere, just like the Germans developed, nitrogen out of the atmosphere and essentially made all these guano islands and all these nitrate islands sort of, irrelevant.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and, do you want to go ahead and call it a night for you, or do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Because we've been talking for about, 45, 50 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good conversation, so 10 o'clock, good.
Anyway, it was good having you, and essentially what happens in Canada, in short, you have a little bit better economic situation.
Yeah, but I don't know how long it'll last.
You still have natural resources. So essentially, white people have the same stresses, the same strains here, and essentially it involves Uyghur and Jew politicians going ahead and living off of white people, correct?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay. Anyway,
the sad thing is most of the politicians are white. They're just fucking selling out to the Jews and, the immigrants. And that's how they get their votes, All these immigrants come in and, hey, you get free welfare if you vote for me. Bam, you're elected, so.
Well, Pierre Trudeau started that shit, I think, in 1976.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He started it, 35 years ago?
Yeah, libtards, yeah.
Anyway, I guess I'll talk to you later. I was glad you could go ahead and come in. And, you have a good one, Jakob, okay?
Yeah, you too, Pastor. Hail victory.
Huh? Hail victory.
Hail victory.
Hail victory. And death to the Manzer Bill. Okay? Bye-bye. Anyway, we'll go ahead and take about a 2 or 3 minute break, and we will be back in, probably about 5 or 10 minutes. So folks, hail victory. Okay, folks, it looks like we end up having a few Nimtards come in. I guess number 23 is claims to be Artie, some sort of Jew faggot here who, all these characters, that's what strikes me about Jeremy Visser and the rest here. What they do is as long as they feel safe, they do whatever they really want to do. And it's the same way in this bowel movement. You have all these people who they come in, and they pretend to be something, but they're not. You don't know who the hell it is. Anyway, okay, it looks like we got a few tards coming in. No big deal. Where was I? Let's see. I was going to go ahead and post this Northwest Flun. basically, I went ahead and posted, and you end up having this guy named Rudell. I call him Judell. He posts over 100 balls. I'm wondering, usually there ain't no overlap. Essentially, you end up having these, quote, intellectuals that come in, and they do not like Christianity in general. They don't like Christian identity in particular. And then you end up having these other people who claim to be Christian identity. I don't know if they are or not here. Last night on Eli James, you ended up having Unkosher and Jurel Mosley, and a few go over to Eli James's, because I guess essentially between Brian Rio and Finkelshini, they weren't able to maintain too much interest for more than an hour. But in any case, you end up having in this movement everyone who essentially thinks and believes himself here. They worship themselves. And that was what this show tonight was supposed to be about. Essentially, you had these people who were sort of laughing about Bill White's difficulties. I never believed that he was in Tehran. And I think it was sort of stupid of him to keep on going ahead and posting, even use a, quote, Tor browser, because I don't believe that the Tor browser is altogether secure at all. It reminds me way back when the internet was young, you had a remailer based in Finland that turned out that it was just an NSA plot to where essentially you'd find these people who thought that they had to go ahead and send something, quote, secret. You know, essentially, yeah, you want to be secret? You want to be secret squirrels? You want to have confidentiality? Well, guess what? We'll set up something to where essentially you're sent to a government organization charged with spying upon the American public. And, yeah, we run this remailer system here out of Finland. So it didn't go to Finland. It just claimed to go to Finland. Maybe it had somebody actually in Finland to go ahead and give it a stamp as such. But essentially it went through the National Security Agency. Well, same thing with the Tor browser and the rest here, in that, hey, somehow they found Bill White in around Cancun, Mexico, and they arrested him. They knew he was there. They went ahead and just simply picked him up. Federales did, and I guess they've gone ahead, and he's already in Miami. He's already either waived extradition or did whatever, because from what I gather, I see an email on the Bill White trial blog that he's already in Miami. But what gets me is there's old Don Paulin, and he likes Biscuits Bill a lot better than he likes, Edgar Steele. Folks, I haven't heard anything about Edgar Steele for the last, what, month or so, really. It seems like people are pretty well, and, you know, it is true here. Essentially, if you spend more than a week in jail, unless you know how to go ahead and get some sort of publicity, essentially you're going to be forgotten. You're going to be altogether forgotten. You're going to be old news here. Now, here in Southwest Missouri, essentially the Juden press has pretty well learned it's best not to even talk about me. Just let me rant and rave on my own webpage without going ahead and answering what I have to say. But what I want to get to is that in this movement, you end up having, among so-called white nationalists, essentially, screw Bill White, screw the white race, screw everything. It's all about me, 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 me. And the answer is that then can you expect to have unity among a bunch of solipsists? The answer is, of course, you can't. Now, folks, I'm not big on unity. Cain loved unity. Nimrod loved unity. I believe that essentially what's going to have is you're going to have chaos as everybody goes ahead and starts looking after himself. And, folks, the current order has failed us. So-called representational democracy has failed us. It's worse than the absolute democracy, because now you end up having a bunch of politicians and a bunch of rulers and the rest, and they can go ahead essentially and go against what the vast majority of white people want, both in Canada, both here, and do whatever the heck they want to. And pretty well, as a person, all you are is left to upon your own devices. And since we have this reality, that's why I urge people not to go ahead and join any movements or not join anything else like that here. Now, I was looking. Harold Covington is trying to do some YouTube videos, and a lot of people, well, I guess they liked his YouTube video. I didn't. I was sort of shocked because I didn't know Harold. You know, Harold looks sort of old, and he looks sort of sick. And what happens is if you're going ahead and looking at somebody who looks old and sick, you're looking at someone who looks old and sick. You're not looking at what, you're not listening to what that person has to say. And I sort of think, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and send me an email. I said, look, Harold, I guess you have a face made for radio. Okay? That's why I don't want to go ahead and do, you know, video here, because essentially I look like a maniac. But, well, I am a maniac, but, so maybe I should do a video more than Covington should. I don't know. I sort of think is that he would do far better getting people to listen to his message, essentially, if he didn't have, you know, if he didn't have, essentially, showing and having both his friends and his enemies, his friends go ahead and say, oh, Harold, you need to, you know, go ahead and do this sort of thing here, and have his enemies gloating about how old and sick he looks. And having even, oh, Lord, get this phone. I think he'd do far better. I think he'd do better having, oh, someone photogenic like Axel Sally go ahead and, of course, that would go ahead and finish once and for all as to whether or not she's Corina Burke or not. I mean, folks, you'd have a whole bunch of wiggers, niggers too, going ahead, essentially, if old Corina Burke was going ahead and reading Harold Covington, what Harold Covington had to say. It's just that they'd be paying attention with their eyes and not any with their ears. So I don't know where I got to that here. But I was going ahead and talking is that even in Covington's own organization, you will end up having a few boys like Steve Elder, and you will end up having a bunch of self-serving tards. Essentially, I don't like you Christian and Danny people. You're a bunch of idiots. You're not as smart as Revealio P. Oliver. Well, fact of the matter is that Revealio P. Oliver, you know, toward the end of his life, was talking and whining about how there were hardly any Christians left here. He sounded just like a Jew, bitching that there were not enough Christians to support, I guess, a Jew lifestyle. Essentially, he wished there was more Christians because essentially that meant that life would be better for pagans like him, not that he was going to become a Christian and get down and pull. No, no, no. He liked something like that here. You know what I mean? Anyway, okay here. Oh, he also has a slide for radio. I'm sort of looking at that here. I don't know. I would recommend that rather than have Harold go ahead and do it. You know, because he does look, I mean, I was sort of shocked. You know, I knew that was Harold Covington, and I heard the voice, but I was sort of shocked because he looked pretty old and pretty sick. And I don't know. You know, the problem of it is that have somebody else here, they're going to get some trouble if they get known as the face of the Northwest. So maybe that's what Harold Covington has to do, but I don't know. I don't know. I didn't really like the YouTube video, okay? This is a person, on the other hand. Anyway, here. Okay, well, I'd probably buy it, you know. I mean, whatever, you know, let's see here. I'm looking at this here. Let's see here. Oh, well, yeah, maybe in season here. Anyway, no problem here. I mean, maybe you'll go ahead. Maybe I ought to write Covington here. I sort of didn't like the YouTube because I really wasn't paying attention to what Covington was saying. I was paying attention to what Covington looked like. And he did not, he looked old and sick. And I'm not sure if that's the message you want to go ahead and give across, especially since there's a lot of people that believe when Harold Covington dies, pretty well the Northwest imperative is going to be over with. And so going ahead and doing a YouTube video is not a good idea because essentially you want to go ahead and give the impression that it will continue after Harold Covington and not showing so what looks like a sick, fat old man. Okay? Well, I don't know. I have a question here. What happens is Covington is what, 58, 59? He's about 4 or 5 years older than I am. I'm 54. Let's see. Yeah, he was born, he said, in 1953, so he'd be, what, 59, you know, 58 or 59? And I don't know, has anybody ever thought of essentially going ahead and putting a balaclava or one of them little masks here on Harold Covington here? You know what I mean? Just go ahead, essentially, you know, everybody knows he's fat here, but essentially just simply go ahead and, you know, let him be the man behind the cloth mask or something like that here. You know, that might do better. That might do better. You know what I mean? So, balaclava here, yeah. You know, so anyway, you might go ahead and essentially, you know, give my criticisms here, Andy, since I guess you were doing the video or something like that here. And in any case, that might be the thing to do. That might be exactly the thing to do. Folks, I sort of think is that generally you don't want to go ahead and see Harold Covington. You want to, well, I guess he's like a child. You want to, you know, unlike a child, you want to go ahead and listen to what he has to say. You don't want to go ahead and essentially pay attention to the actual person doing the talking here. Generally, you want someone who's pleasant, someone who looks healthy, someone who looks somewhat successful or at least middle class, you know, someone who's well-spoken. And in many cases, what happens, they don't have the writers, you know, on the TV shows, they don't have the writers going ahead and giving the speeches. They end up having rather cute-looking people go ahead in their prime and essentially do the acting or something like that here. So that's just something to go ahead and think about, okay? Anyway. All righty here. Anyway, where was I at here? By the way, I think Frankenwigger, he was on Eli James' show Saturday night here. He didn't much care for what Eli James was talking about here. He sort of believed that obsolete farm equipment should not be running, you know, up in heaven, chasing after your female relatives here, or something like that here. And yeah, there are here. I remember a couple Christian identity. One Christian identity woman called Olympia or something like that on one of the Northwest shows here. She liked Christian identity. You end up having some real Christian identity people, you know, as opposed to delusional tards like Steve Elder. You will have that. The thing about is, though, is the Christian identity doesn't believe the white race is in danger of being exterminated, or if it is, that'll be, you know, the sign for Jesus Christ to come back in his second coming. There, right now, if you're a white nationalist, if you're a Christian identity, most Christian identity that I know, with Herbert Armstrong, with the rest of you, they did not, even when I was a kid, they did not make a big deal about being part of this Herbert Armstrong cult-like thing here. Usually what they would do is they would be real quiet here, and essentially you wouldn't talk about it at school. And essentially people weren't going ahead and paying attention. I was looking the other day on the news, and you had a beaner go ahead and call the cops over another beaner who was spanking his kid. Essentially, this is in California. So what you have is that you end up having, at least for a short time, you end up having liberal beaners who are acting like liberal wiggers talking to other beaners who essentially are living, the remnants of the wigger lifestyle. In some cases, these beaners have gotten a liberal wigger notion here about child raising. Now, your average lettuce picker, if he has his kids up there, they're not up there to go to school. They're up there to go ahead and pick lettuce so they can go ahead and get a lot of money and send it back to Mexico where they can winter over. Okay? So, okay. Anyway, by the way, Joe Pennsylvania, you wanted to ask a biblical question. I was wondering what it was. I guess here, let me see. What happens is that Frank and Wigger would not be a good match for Joe Cord here. You know what I mean? Hell, I wouldn't be a good match for Joe Cord. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I'm more like O.C. Ogilvy. as I look at it, let Yahweh sort him out here. Yahweh knows his own here. And, okay, I asked Pastor John Britton that. And, the answer is, I don't know, but I tend to doubt that he was a Canaanite, okay? But they call him Simon the Canaanite. So the answer is that how do you explain that? And the answer is, I don't know. Generally, it's sort of like what Russ Walker was talking about. Russ Walker was annoyed because Eli James was talking to this quantum, this guy who claimed to understand quantum physics. And usually people who actually are into quantum physics says that essentially there's only five people who can understand quantum physics on the planet. Now, some of that is self-serving elitism, but in many cases, a lot of it is sort of counterintuitive. And it's not something you can go ahead and really say here. So, to be honest with you, I don't really know the answer to that. Unlike other people, I'm going to say this, I don't really know. I look at myself here. Simon the Canaanite. Well, if he really was a Canaanite, that sort of negates Christian identity. He might have gone ahead and lived among the Canaanites. He might have gone ahead, essentially came from Niggertown Canaanite. He might have, I don't know. I don't know why he got that name here. I mean, I'm quite sure he wasn't born, you know, little bitty, you know, I don't think he was born Simon Jewison, okay? Simon, the son of a Jew here, or Simon Canaanite, Simon the Canaanite. It sounds to me like it's a nickname. And therefore, since it's a nickname, it doesn't really, it's not really, it might have been a joke name. It's sort of like Little John. They call him John Little, but they also call him Little John because he was supposedly 6'5" in an era when most of the inhabitants were a foot shorter, a full foot shorter. Old Little John was supposedly 6'5", and they called him John the Little, so then he became known as John Little. So it's not, I think it was a Canaanite. I think it was a nickname to call him, you know, the Canaanite here, okay? Okay, well, Finkelschini might be right. Let me just point out something. Finkelschini, sometimes he's sort of like a Jew hog which finds a truffle. You know what I mean? Was Abraham's father called something like that too here? Abraham's father was called Terah. And Terah had, if you go ahead, and this is the problem. This is the problem with the books of the Bible, these apocryphal books here. In many cases, you'll end up having the original, which almost nobody ends up, you know, being able to see, and you'll end up having what the Jews did to it. Like just with the Bible here, the Masoretic text was pretty well worked upon because the Jews didn't like the Septuagint. And in the case of, you know, even Logan Hunter, you know, he bought a fake book and then he bought the real books from Wickstrom. He bought the ones from Wickstrom, and essentially those were the true books here. And essentially, he ought to take them out, you know, pull out of the Bible and put the books that he bought from Wickstrom in the Bible. And you got to go ahead. I mean, the Jews have gone ahead and done a number of things. And Terah supposedly was Nimrod's little lieutenant. And according to both the Talmud and the Book of Jasher, essentially he was an idol maker. He went ahead and essentially, oh, Nimrod said that from Abraham would come the death of him and his family. Well, according to the Talmud, according to the Book of Jasher, Abraham's grandson Esau killed Nimrod, and Jacob Israel went ahead and killed, this was before he became Israel, killed Nimrod's serving men, getting them off of Esau. Essentially, Jacob did this to go ahead and pay for, essentially, from what I gather, they were stealing the lost, you know, these garments of power. And essentially, here was Jacob trying to go ahead and make amends, you know, trade, you know, flickering Esau out of the birthright or something like that here. Well, there's a different tradition that says that Shem went ahead and killed Nimrod. And that Shem went ahead and killed Nimrod, and that essentially Esau killed Tammuz, who was Neo-Nimrod. Okay? So, where am I at here? Well, Canaanite also meant, I would say it also meant merchant here. He might have been a rich merchant or an unsuccessful merchant. So, in any case, what happens is that, for my guy, I've never heard that Abraham's father, Terah, was called a Canaanite. Okay? Okay. Well, guess number 23 is he's just not one of these tars who thinks he's so much smarter than all these other people here. Let me see. Okay. Well, I just had a crash. Firefox here. Details. You know? I don't want to update. I do not want to update Firefox. Okay, let's see. Anyway, where was I here? So both Abraham and Moses were white, yeah. Okay? Well, 23, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, you can't have much of a discussion with someone who essentially is 100% opposed to everything you have to say altogether here. I really can't have a conversation with a Jew who I think is the spawn of Satan, as long as we're going to go ahead and discuss what's going to happen to Jews. This Jew is not going to go ahead and like discussing with me that he's a spawn of Satan here. He may want to say he's God's chosen people, or I'm going to say he's Satan's kid. Are we going to have anything really to discuss? The answer is no. If you don't want to go ahead and believe what the Bible says, or even be cognizant of what the Bible says, there's not much I can say to you, okay? So, let's see here. The answer, you know, in 23, is that Jews are the spawn of Satan. Whites are essentially Adamic, and now by now they're Israelite in origin. You end up having a bunch of not-quite-whites who are Mamzers, and they end up having a bunch of other mixtures in that, so I don't consider them to be whites. In fact, most whites are just nothing more than Uyghurs. Okay? So, let's see. Oh, I'm yakking here. I've been yakking for about 28 minutes. It might be time to go ahead and take another little break here to go ahead and check and see if anybody has any questions as to where they want this show tonight to go. Because, I don't know, the last couple of shows, and I already did an hour and a half show earlier today. So, folks, I don't have a problem with the show being under 3 hours anymore. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break and say hail victory. And, folks, if you have any questions you want to ask me, go ahead and ask them. Or if anybody wants to call in, they can do so. Hail victory, folks. Okay, we're back. At least we have somebody here who doesn't want to believe in Christian identity. It doesn't really matter. Essentially, Christian identity is a belief, overall, is that white people from Northern and Western Europe are the, quote, lost 10, actually 13 tribes of the House of Israel. Started out in the 1830s, 40s, 50s as a racial religion. Became British Israelitism, and the independent Jews come in and they'll come up with their own little notions. And let's see, the biggest Christian identity church within living memory was Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God, along with Garner Ted Armstrong, who he kicked out. And he used to have quite a few people. Now, I believe in the dual seed line variant, which is that Jews are the literal spawn of Satan through Satan's subjection of Eve, and that Noah's flood was just a local flood, and that essentially the Bible in history is a result of a fighting between the spawn of Satan, the Jews, and the true Yahweh servant nation of Christian Israel. Thus, I don't believe that the white race is going to be exterminated, although it's going to be on its last legs when this great tribulation starts winding up. But then again, the entire earth will be in a bad situation because, folks, you don't have to believe in Christian identity. You know there's a collapse right around the corner. In any case, someone went ahead and asked about white Jews here. There were some white Jews who were blonde, blue-eyed, called the Amorites, who managed to fool the Israelites a couple of times. And Pastor John Britton believes that the Amalekites were not only dangerous because they were especially fierce, but they were dangerous because they looked so much like Israelites. So in any case here, guest number 23, it doesn't really matter to me what you choose to believe because Christian identity is not a proselytizing religion. And like I was trying to tell Covington's a while back ago, is that I'm not trying to go ahead and convert you from creativity or anything like that here. In fact, during the last couple of years, Christian identity has become more and more and more taken over by Mamzers and Jews like Eli James and William Fink, and Mamzers like Brian Rio, Jews like Eli James, well, I already mentioned Eli James, Dan Johns. You end up having more and more and more of these characters who I call the Wandering Mamzers, or Wikipedia Talks Jews CI. So, in many cases, I've gone ahead and seen that in order to really understand, I think, Christian identity, it pays or it helps for you to have been essentially taught in it at an early age. Because just like it said that if you're 6 years old or older, you will never learn to speak a foreign language without an accent. Now, I don't know if that's altogether always the case, but it is usually the case. And so I'm not trying to convince you to follow Christian identity or anything like that, but this, you know, the speaker here is a Christian identity pastor. You know, now you can say I'm a self-ordained Christian identity pastor, you'd probably be right. But in any case, this show goes ahead and looks at things through a dual seed line Christian identity perspective, where in the white nationalist movement, you end up having a bunch of people who just essentially they don't worship God, they don't worship Christ, they worship themselves. And you can never go ahead and do anything, expect them to stay on course or stay on time, because essentially, they're just in it for themselves. Now, the bad part about it is since they're in it for themselves, they'll essentially sell people out when their resolve starts turning mean, starts turning bad, okay? Well, number 23, what you need to do is you need to send $2 per show to Jim Giles, or $5, you know, as a lone wolf, or a Lone Tard to Tom Metzger. Make sure he knows your name so he can go ahead and let you listen to the Tom Metzger show. Okay? Well, anyway, where am I at here? Asturu. What happens is that the Asturo characters here, essentially, what they're doing is they're following. It's an affectation. Way back when, essentially, Woden actually lived around 175 to 200 A.D. Somehow, he managed to go ahead and supplant the worship of Nerthus with the worship of himself here. You go ahead and look at the Anglo-Saxon and Frankish kings list. Woden was 14th in line after Skeef. Skeef was a foundling who essentially was found in a clinker-built rowboat on a shield with a sword, a helmet, a suit of armor, and pillowed by a sheaf of wheat. He was called Skeef, which meant sheaf. Essentially, he was the founder of the God King line for the Danes, the Geats, even the Swedes, the Angles, the Saxons, and the Franks, and the Langobards, but not the Vandals. And essentially, he was a historic personage here. Back when in the 90s and early aughts, when I was corresponding with David Lane through his wife Katja, David Lane wanted me to give up Christian identity and become a Wodenist priest. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that because, well, hey, essentially Woden was a god king who lived, what, 1,800 some years ago or so? And, it was sort of like, in many cases, sort of like the Aryans here. The Aryans who stayed behind in Iran called themselves Aryans, which meant the noble ones, but around, 35 to 4,000 years ago, they loaded up their ox carts, and they headed toward India, and they beat the crap out of these Dravidian niggers. And at first they went ahead and had an overall creator god or sky god who they called Brahim. And they had a war god, they had a war god, Krishna. And they had a mischief god or a bad god like, Kali or whatever. They had a number of gods, just like the Greeks did with their Zeus and their Juno and their Minerva and their Diana. Essentially, the Bel Kreis, the Bel cult of Cybele was essentially Diana. Became the Roman Catholic Church, at least according to Christianity belief. So you've had these Baals, these Baals, these gods, these tribal gods, for all the quote white people. Now the problem is that when things were sort of being discussed here, and once you got past the Bible, you end up mistaking the Jews for the Judeans and calling essentially these Canaanites who are descended from Ham and this, Tubal-Cainite bitch who was Tubal-Cain's sister named Naama, who was not descended from Shem. You end up calling them Semites. And the Jews have been able to call people who don't like Jews anti-Semitic, other than the more plain descriptive phrase anti-Jew. Because essentially, the Israelites' curse was that they would lose their identity. Unless you understand Christian identity, you would lose your identity. The Israelites would lose their identity. They lost their overall identity as Israelites. They lost their tribal identity as being Manassites or Ephraimites or Benjamites or Judeans or whatever. And essentially, it's to understand who you are and where you came from. Now, during the you know, during the 1700s and 1800s, you had people, especially long-haired German philosophers, who essentially didn't like the book, you know, didn't like the Bible. And in the case of Benny Classen, where you end up coming up with this dead Jew on a stick character here, well, usually when I see a creator, I say he's worshiping a dead Jew on a dick, a.k.a. Benny Butt Classen here. So I don't go ahead and call in Joe the Creator, because I'm not interested in fighting with Joe the Creator. And by the way, I noticed Joe the Creator essentially was trying to build a big tent. He's being polite to Covington. And that is just souring out old Hadding and Whigger Swill's manginas about, you know, a good deal. Okay? All right? Let's see. Well, yeah, this, you know, see here. 23 has no idea what he's talking about here. In any case, where am I at here? Look at this here. Anyway, here. In some cases, you know, and I'm not quite sure I want to go ahead and do that, but in many cases here, what you would have is you would have the Israelites going ahead and worshiping various Baals. And, you know, generally the Greeks, they were descended. Some of them were descended from the, it's sort of like the Irish. Some of them were descended from the Danites, and some were descended from the Judeans. You had, in the case of Rome, where they said that they were descended from Aeneas, who was a Trojan prince. Therefore, descend from the Israelites. Okay? Well, you've always had, essentially, you've had Baals to go ahead and they take over. They will go ahead and take over for essentially the belief in Yahweh. In the case of Semiramis, there was an evil Jew bitch. He went ahead, and once Shem went ahead and cut Nimrod into pieces and said, you know, cut him into 12 or 13 pieces. They went ahead in the case of Isis, in the case of the Babylonian beliefs, of Easter and Ishtar. Essentially said, oh, Nimrod is not dead. No, I went ahead and put him back together again. In the case of Isis, I went ahead and had to carve a piece of his pecker out of ivory or wood or whatever here. And I'm the virgin, and I got reborn. And essentially, you know, Ra lives in me in the case of the baby Horus or in the case of the baby Tammuz. And what you would have is that you would have these people, and they would go ahead essentially and claim to represent Yahweh. But what they would do is they'd go ahead and create themselves as a god. So they go ahead and create these all these Nimrodian cults here. And by the way, there's an old book here, and Finkelschini and, Mark Downey, were bitching about this staple of Christian identity thought, that, you know, Hyslop's the two Babylons. Okay? So, anyway. So, anyway, it looks like, you know, the Norse race mixed heavily. Well, not really. What happens is that if you want to talk about the Norse race mixing heavily, they haven't mixed heavily in their corner, you know, in Scandinavia. Where they mixed heavily here is when you end up having all these damn Muslims and Pakis and the rest here going there as refugees, really economic refugees, and now they're going ahead and mixing heavily among the Norse. In any case here, all right. in any case here. Well, 23, you can disagree with whatever the hell you want to disagree with here. You will end up having some disagreements between Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé. But what you've seen with Eli James and Fink essentially is that here they are, they're papist preterism, you know, papist preterists from supposedly the Roman Catholic Church originally. I think they're Jews. And what you end up having is that they're knocking off the timeline to where, well, hey, the millennium's already been by here. What happened to the Roman Catholic Church was God's kingdom on earth. And essentially, Satan was bound and then got turned loose in time to cause the Protestant Reformation. And now, these Northern Europeans are no longer sending money and followers to Rome. And folks, you never heard a bit about preterism until 1615 or 1619, when it was dreamed up by the Roman Catholic Church. But what you end up having in both Eli James and Fink here, you have two bogus sides of the Jew coin to where they believe. You know, and yeah, Andreas, I was listening to you. Generally, if you want to go ahead and say that all animals have a soul because they're not, you know, because they're capable of some degree of self-awareness, well, I'm not gonna go ahead and disagree with you on that point. But what I'm talking about is essentially a higher level to where only white men can go ahead and have the option of getting eternal life. I can imagine there are some smart niggers or some smart dukes. I mean, when I heard that little surviving daughter of the mud shark whining here about JT Reddy going ahead and shooting her mom and her sister and her niece, why, you'd almost think that they were human here, you know, hearing them whine about the Slat maniac, Jew boy, JT Reddy shooting people. But as far as I'm concerned, they don't really have a spirit or a higher spirit which would enable them to be resurrected. The only difference between Eli James and Fink is they both believe that they have something to resurrect and they're somehow under the law, which they're not. There's no covenant with them. And therefore, Fink believes they're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever, and that Jesus Christ is going to resurrect them just to burn them to death. Essentially, Eli James believes that essentially good Mamzers, good Jews, will essentially be serving, will go ahead and pick our virtual cotton and give us virtual mint juleps in heaven. And, no, I don't believe, you know, I mean, you know, that's absurd. That's not Christian identity doctrine. So if you want to go ahead and say that, you know, non-whites have some sort of soul, well, okay, fine. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But I am going to argue in that, you know, they do not belong in the white man's heaven. Now, I've gone ahead in order to make some little Greedo happy, said that I was hoping they had a little Greedo heaven where they could go ahead and shoot one another and eat lasagna and pizza and whatever, you know, and go ahead, especially Greedo Valhalla. I mean, hey, it don't cost me nothing. Go ahead and tell them that at all. But do I really believe that they're going to be in, you know, Aryan heaven or white man heaven? The answer is no, I don't. Okay? Yeah, I know. Revelio P. Oliver. I remember, I mean, Revelio P. Oliver, he went ahead and he wrote a bunch of sterile shit just like Kevin Alfred Strom. And by the way, who is Revelio P. Oliver's biggest disciple other than Kevin Alfred Strom? And I went ahead and wrote this as that essentially, when it came down to it, Revelio P. Oliver and Kevin Alfred Strom, essentially, they considered themselves real smart, but when it came down to it, well, they didn't really have anything they could look forward to. They didn't have anything they did look forward to. Kevin Alfred Strom, he was accused of child molestation. What does he do? He goes ahead and pleads guilty. I'm accused of that. What do? I just simply fight and fight and hate these cocksuckers and tell them that essentially I'm not going to be a nice little boy and roll over. And essentially, I get sent to a nut house because I will not accept a public pretender to sell me out. Folks, these people can do whatever the hell they want to, but you got to understand that when it comes down to it, they are scared. I think the reason I was going ahead looking after this thing about Bill White, I got the impression that the U.S. Marshal Services, I got the impression that essentially law enforcement was not dicking around. They were looking for Bill White. They really were looking for Bill White. It wasn't, we'll round up. You know, it wasn't like your average meth goober who essentially has skipped town or essentially been given a bus ticket, Greyhound therapy, by the Jews in New York to essentially, if you will go ahead and leave New York, essentially, you know, here's a Greyhound ticket. You know, we'll go ahead and put you in jail here for violating parole, or you can take this Greyhound ticket. It's called Greyhound therapy. Had one of them from New York here. He was a real piece of shit. He was in jail again in Newton County. He got him some Greyhound therapy. He was a criminal in New York. Essentially what boiled down to is, well, here's a bus ticket. Be on it or be in jail, be sent back to Rikers Island, which is it? Well, okay, I'd rather go ahead and take the bus ticket. Oh, by the way, my grandma lives in Carthage. That's where I want my Greyhound therapy to extend to. And sure enough, being a criminal, he was back in the, you know, Newton County jail for something or another. But in case here, I think they were actually looking for Bill White. I think they were actually looking for Bill White, okay? So, well, I guess the food will be good in Guido heaven here, you know what I mean? All right, HB here. Let's see here. Well, I don't know what Strom Thurmond is doing here. I don't know if he actually did it or not. But he's a weak character because essentially he worships himself here. And Revealio P. Oliver essentially wrote score after score after score of essays about how stupid Whiggers were. Okay? All right. Wiggers are stupid. Christians are stupid. Christians are idiots. Christians ain't as smart as you. But, folks, I don't trust an intellectual. Most intellectuals don't have anything of any practical effect. They don't have the strength of character to fight, really. They don't have a strength of character to do what needs to be done. All they do is, well, they pretend to be in something. Okay? Anyway. What I'm saying is that, hey, well, it can be if you end up having too much acid here from tomatoes. In any case, folks, Northern Italian cooking, the North Italians and the South Italians aren't too crazy about one another. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you end up having a big financial collapse. I wouldn't be surprised to see that everything Garibaldi did will be undone. Folks, you end up having when essentially Germany was divided into 900 some cities and duchies and municipalities and free cities. You'd have little fights between these little cities. Some of them be pretty mean. But generally, Germany was in many cases a victim. Germans were not known as great soldiers prior to essentially Frederick you know, Frederick the Great going ahead and setting up a organized army around the state here. He said that Prussia was a, well, most people, you know, most states had an army, said that Prussia was an army with a state. But most of the time, these small towns here, these small principalities, essentially they have their little armies, and they have their little bitty wars. But since they were limited little wars, they weren't wars of extermination, they weren't wars of conquest, they weren't great wars. Essentially, what they did is that they really had sort of like an era of peace here. And what you end up doing is that once Prussia got pretty strong to where it could go ahead and take off bits and pieces under Bismarck, and they got used to winning, they were essentially fighting local decaying empires like Austria, mainly. And then later on, they got joined together with Austria against France and Russia, and you end up having world wars. And the end result was that in order to go ahead and go against Germany, which was pretty well having enough of the Jews, you know, I pointed out in a world religions class that essentially what Ferdinand and Isabella did in 1492 and what Edward I did in 1290 was no different than what Nazi Germany did, or National Socialist Germany did in 1933. Say, we've had enough of these parasites. We've had enough of these criminals. We've had enough of these characters. We want them out. And we will not be ruled by them. We will not go ahead, essentially, be made to do anything by these people. And what they did was that, well, essentially, they went ahead and did the same thing, no different than what, well, in fact, not nearly as harsh as what Ferdinand and Isabella did in 1492, and what Edward I did in 1290. But they did insist, look, Jews, I mean, you're not allowed to rule over Germans. You're not allowed to go ahead and live off of us. And most of the time I've seen retards claim that Adolf Hitler, on the basis of table talks, which was pretty spurious crap here, I think it was written by, this guy named Speer, who essentially was out to go ahead and shit on his fellow leaders, German leaders. He was out to go ahead and shit on them so he could go ahead and live. Whereas Hermann Göring and Julius Streicher and the rest here knew the Jews were out to go ahead and kill their ass. So screw you, Jew boys. Essentially, Speer went ahead, essentially, and came up with a lot of this crap. A lot of this bullshit about how Adolf Hitler was anti-Christian. And, folks, I've had arguments with some people that Adolf Hitler really didn't much care for intellectuals. No real leader cares much for intellectuals. Most real leaders care for someone who will go ahead and get things done. Now, I wouldn't lose too much sleep. But I would lose any sleep. Shit, Jews. Don't shit, Jew boy. Yeah. So screw going ahead and bringing you and wasting money here on Zyklon B flea dip here or something like that here. I'll Zyklon B my puppy dog, but I value my puppy dog. I don't value you Jews here. 9 millimeter treatment is good enough for you, Jew boy. And essentially, what happens in intellectuals? They like constructing little old things on a piece of paper, and essentially their little self-made idols of their own little notions. They act like it means something to them, and No, it don't here. Adolf Hitler didn't lie to 40 million Germans about where he really stood, that he was a Christian. He wasn't exactly a super Catholic. So essentially that Adolf Hitler was a Christian, that the Jews were evil, and that all these idiots running around pretending to be Wodenists or the rest of them were a bunch of tards. And he wrote that in Mein Kampf. And believe in some crap that essentially Albert Speer came up with in order to get out of trouble is just that. Do I believe one lying criminal who's trying to go ahead and weasel out of punishment, or do I believe what Adolf Hitler actually went ahead and wrote to millions of Germans? And what did he actually went ahead and believe? And the answer is I believe what Adolf Hitler told the average German here, and not what he supposedly told some self-serving tards here who, were talking about how, Adolf Hitler despised Christianity. Okay? So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead. I don't know. I think I pretty well talked myself out here. Folks, the reason the white nationalist movement is not doing very well is that the people are so low quality. They don't worship Christ. They don't even worship their race. They don't even look after the 14 words. Essentially, what comes first with that, every single one of them, is me. They're not Christians. They're solipsists. They're not creators. They're solipsists. They're not Catholics or Protestants. They're solipsists. They worship themselves. But they don't have the balls to simply say, I worship me, I worship me, I worship me. Because essentially, if you went ahead essentially and confront them like I do, John, the nut job, what do you stand for, John? Oh, I stand, I was molested as a child here by my mother and my daddy and by the aunt and by my brother and by the dog. Okay, so what do we do, John, the nut job? Oh, no, we believe in the Soltranians. Okay, so what's that going to do for, me? What's it going to do for the white race? Oh, I believe that these soldiers were wiped out by red niggers. Well, that's what the Mormons believe, too, here. Are you a Mormon? No, I'm a Soltranian. Okay. So what good does it do you? What good does it do you? All these notions. What good does it do? At least believing dual seed like Christianity, to me, there's no, there's no suspense about what's going to happen. There's going to be a great tribulation. Over 90% of the Uyghurs are going to die, and almost all the Mamzers and Jews and the rest here. And essentially, when Christ comes back, he's going to finish off the rest of them who don't belong to him. And then we're going to have at the end of the Great Tribulation, we're going to end up having Satan put in the pit for 1,000 years, unlike the papist preterist belief. And then he's going to be turned loose. You're going to have him turned loose for a little while. You're going to have a short little revolt about people who should have known better. And they're going to go ahead and declare their sides. They're going to be scorched. Fire's going to come out from heaven. They're going to be done for. And then you have the great judgment of only white people. And all those who are written in the book of life will be essentially given eternal life because they've earned it. And the rest of them, they're not written in the book of dead, but they're not written in the book of life, so they'll be cast in the lake of fire. And then in the lake of fire will be cast both hell and death because there won't be any more of that. And that's what needs to be, that's how it's going to be done here. So I don't have too much question about what's going on in the past, and I don't have too much question about what's going on in the future. All you have to worry about is the now. What is expected of you now? And what is not expected of you is to go ahead and do something stupid that's going to get you put in prison or get your kids taken away from you or essentially get you killed before your time. there's no sense in most of this white nationalist horseshit. Now, the reason I'm allies with Covington is it's sort of like when, well, our ancestors were in the land of Egypt as slaves. Well, where were the Israelites centered? They were centered in Goshen, in the Eastern Delta. So, therefore, there didn't need to be a Goshen migration because they were already there. Now, if they'd been scattered among the Egyptians here, probably Moses might have gone ahead and said, well, let's have a Goshen migration. But now, folks, I'm not saying, and I'm not moving to the Northwest, but on the other hand, I don't mind if some young people who live in a shithole like California, Arizona, Nuevo Mexico, Tejas, Florida, New Jersey, New York, essentially they don't have anything there, not a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. I don't have a problem with them heading to Valhalla land and essentially doing some endemic migration. And I'm not insisting that once you get there, you become buddies with Harold Covington. If you don't like him, well, that's fine. But on the other hand, I do see that essentially of all the quote intellectuals in this Baal movement, essentially he doesn't have any ideas which are against Christian identity, and in many cases some of his notions at least have some intelligence to them. And if you want to go ahead and be in the movement here, if you got to be in the movement, why, just quietly, be a quiet Covingtonista here is what I sort of suggest. I'm not going to agree with everything Harold Covington says. I don't agree with everything Harold Covington says. But on the other hand, I mean, there's nothing wrong if you don't have anything to start heading out just like, to the land of Goshen here. Because the Israelites in the land of Goshen only had to put up with the very first three plagues. They didn't have to put up with plague 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 9. And essentially by then they were told that they had to go ahead and put the blood of the lamb on their lintels so they would not get plague number 10, the death of the firstborn. So, folks, essentially the reason that this movement isn't going anywhere, it's not going to go anywhere, you're going to end up having characters like Bill White going ahead and get picked off one by one, is because essentially even the ones who liked Bill White didn't do too much for him. And Bill White essentially didn't have enough sense to just keep his mouth shut and stay indoors in somebody's basement or outhouse or whatever. It wouldn't have mattered how many people the Zog would have got ahead and got if he'd have just simply gone to somebody sort of like Bill White to Bill, I got some basement space. You want to stay here for the next couple of years? And Bill White could have done that, but Bill White didn't want to do that. He didn't run his mouth. I'm going to set me up something on Facebook. Okay. How'd that work out, Bill? In any case here, Cleopatra was a Macedonian bitch, a murderous Macedonian bitch here who went ahead, essentially, you want to talk about inbreds, Cleopatra was a Macedonian bitch who was an inbred, okay, and a rather nasty inbred. Of course, she went ahead and she gave pussy to Julius Caesar and Mark Anthony. Anyway, getting on here, he denies white history here. Anyway, well, he believes this crap here. All right, well, he's yanking Martin's chain here. All right, in any case, and I don't mind you yanking my chain. At least you ain't spamming, okay? In any case, folks, don't seek unity with those people who essentially cannot get along with anybody else who worship themselves, because you're never going to be able to meet their price, their latest price. They're always going to want to go ahead and have you, you'll have you go ahead and essentially pay whatever the hell they want to, and then they'll go ahead and just give you a whippersnapper in return. Folks, there's a reason this movement is screwed up. And the very first, you know, if you go ahead and you worship yourself, you're not good to anybody. In fact, I don't think you're even good to yourself. You need to have something greater than yourself, because you know, unless you think that you're going to live forever, and you're immortal or 10-foot tall and bulletproof. Old Bill White sort of thought he was 10-foot tall and rich and increased with goods and bulletproof, and now he's in trouble. He's in trouble. I want to talk about real quick about another character, Joe Paul Franklin. I need to get my laser printer. I need to get my printer in order. You can go ahead and write him a letter. You know, Joe Paul Franklin went ahead and killed a bunch of race mixers and niggers and mud sharks and all sorts of critters. And he's sort of, you know, Trigger Glenn Miller is sort of supporting him a bit here. I don't like that because I don't like Trigger Glenn Miller because he's a thieving, you know, lying, cheating, anglomerceal Zogbot who's been spying on people. He's a snitch. But I do need to go ahead and sit and write Joe Paul Franklin a letter. Ask him if he wants to go ahead and be ordained into the Christian identity belief, since he does believe the Christian identity belief. He wasn't an intellectual. He was a man of action. He went ahead and did what he could do here, and he really was a soldier of our people. And I want him to be respected. I want it to be understood here. So, I don't know. You know, I would hate to think of him being buried, you know, in the Potter's Field next to Potosi. My Guerra's relatives don't like him, so I don't know. Maybe I'll buy a lot in the Granby Cemetery, something like that here, and you know, see about, you know, what he wants to do about his funeral arrangements. Folks, I want Joe Paul Franklin to be understood as a white soldier, a white nationalist resistance soldier who actually fought the war, who actually fought the fight, and actually lived according to how he thought here, without any purposes of evasion or pretty well chicken-shitting out. And there's people who think he's nuts. I don't. I think he was a soldier. He's one of our soldiers. He's one of our resistance heroes here, and he ought to be treated like that while he's still alive. So, in any case, any of you want to go ahead, and since I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about it here, you can send me an email at Pastor Linstead, PastorLinstedt, @gmail.com. And essentially, you know, far more than Revealio P. Oliver and Kevin Alfred Strom and, you know, folks, I did not like, I still really don't much care for Bill White, but I have a little bit of respect more for Bill White. He at least had some class. He at least had some style. And, you know, I'm sorry that he ended up getting caught, although I sort of think he was foolish and brought a lot of that shit down on himself, and I hope nobody else got some shit that brought down on himself either. Well, folks, for every Joe Paul Franklin, you'll end up having 666,000 Whiggers who pretend that being white nationalists. And for every bitch kiss Bill, you'll have at least 6 Whiggers who ain't even bitch kiss Bill White standards. And, folks, the reason of that is that every single one worships themselves. They don't even worship the white race. They don't even worship God or Yahweh or Jesus Christ. They worship themselves. And folks, the very first idol that you need to topple is yourself. I know it's hard. No one can really understand what it's like when you're no longer here anymore. You can understand what it was like before you got there. You can sort of sense, you can sort of understand a little bit. But in any case, every single one of our universes will end when we end as well. And we need to understand is that what we are is we are part of a chain of life here. and that we don't all get to belong to ourselves, but rather we belong to, well, Yahweh. We're his children. We belong to him. We need to follow his laws. We need to understand who we are, and we need to go ahead and look after our own people. And then and only then will we be worthy of ruling over them. What happens? We have one heck of a row to hoe. And it's going to go ahead and start getting worse. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead, and I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Okay, Andy, you might go ahead and pass along what I said to Carrington. He might, you know, I mean, there's no mistake in that he does not look well. You know, he looks pretty old, and he looks pretty tired, and he looks pretty sick. So, I don't know. I think, you know, I think for people who like him, they're going to be looking at him. People who don't like him are going to be looking at him, and nobody's going to be listening to what he says. Okay? Okay. Alrighty. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. Hail victory, folks.